This is PFW in progress.
Ezekiel 25:17, the path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the children of evil men.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Paul Perillo.
Hamburger, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a good burger.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get it straight, Buster. I'm not here to say please. I'm here to tell you what to do. If I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this.
Andy Hart.
So pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the car.
Some guy named Tom.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't through with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Oh, my piercing? 18 places on my body, every one of them done with a needle. 5 in each ear, 2 in my right nostril, 1 in my left eyebrow, 1 in my belly, 1 in my lip, and I wear a stud on my tongue.
PFW in progress.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better. You guys look like... What do they look like, Jimmy?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. The dorks are all here. Paul, where is Paul? Where'd he go? Andy, Tom, Eric, the kicker's here. Fred, Gary, be in the booth. We're all here with our Papagino's pizza.
Personal pan pizzas.
But this wasn't purchased by a listener. This is no. Courtesy of the Patriots Media Relations Department.
Indeed. It's not bad either. Not a bad last lunch for training camp.
Today was the last day of public practice. The last practice is at 5:30 today. So if you are planning on coming to a Patriots training camp practice, you better hurry because this is your last chance. 5:30 today, and then it closes out. Although that does not close out training camp.
Right.
For the players, just for the public.
Hey, Fred, what would your definition of the word awkward be?
What would my definition of the word awkward be?
He's setting you up here for something.
Well, specific or just like...
Sub-definition 17B would be riding the elevator down from the press box with two personal pan pizzas in your hand and Bill Belichick.
All right. Any conversation taking place?
Well, we talked about a variety of different things that included nothing, nothing, and nothing.
But you did actually talk?
No.
Oh.
Didn't even.
It was not... Not even an acknowledgement.
Nothing
made.
At all.
Really?
Nope.
That is awkward.
Oh, it was.
And also weird.
It's a little odd.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just say hey or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't. I keep my mouth shut and my eyes down.
You know how often we like to rip him in the
paper. What do you want me to tell you?
You think he could just say hey?
Yeah. You know, just say what's up, guys. You know, looks like you got lunch or make fun of you or something. Anyway, web radio at patriots.com.
I would have laughed out loud if he had said that.
It is what
I'm
it
sure
is.
I'm sure he made fun of us, just not to us.
Web radio at patriots.com is email address. Web radio at patriots.com. And we have a lot of emails. We have a lot to talk about. First preseason games under the belt. You know, I guess it's just a typical first preseason game. Nothing horrible, nothing great. I think Justin Rogers probably is the guy that probably took advantage
Paul's
of it most.
Yeah, Paul's guy.
You know, had a pretty good game for himself. Fumble recovery, sack, 6 tackles, I think, led the team. So he was very active from that outside spot, linebacker.
Played special teams. He was a busy night.
So why don't we start out with your guys' thoughts of that game, and we'll catch people up on practice since then.
Well, I think you sort of summarized that. I didn't think really all that much stood out. Obviously, Rogers was one of them. I said to Paul in the press box, based on expectations, I'd put Matt Gutierrez up there because basically all we've seen in practice is him throw interceptions and not look like a very you know, capable NFL quarterback.
That's all we've seen since, by the way.
Yeah, right. I saw him hit the goalpost today.
Right. He was trying to get a Cliff Kingsbury favorite.
He was trying to get a guy coming across the middle, and instead he just threw it to the goalpost.
So in terms of what I had expected from him, I didn't think he was capable of running the offense. And to me, he looked like he was out there. He saw the rush, stepped up, made some throws. Now, that's not to say he's anything more than, I mean, the absolute ceiling right now is practice squad. But I was mildly surprised by that.
Yeah, he came out.
And Kelly Washington, I thought, was another guy who did more in that game than we've seen pretty much in practice over the course of camp.
Washington's been better, I think. I mean, I'm not saying that he has, you know, been up there with Welker or or any of the other guys. Moss went before he got hurt, but he has been better the last couple of days of practice before the game.
He had a nice catch yesterday.
And I thought he played well in the game, even though he only had two catches. I thought he was open. He was playing against Rondé Barber, which to me meant a little bit more than maybe someone flashing in the fourth quarter.
And he had that one catch where he sort of broke it to the inside and got a little yards after the catch, showed a little athleticism.
Although, showed some of the things that we had been reading about that he was capable of.
According to the Tampa Bay Stats Crew, at one point he had three catches for 987 yards.
That's true. The Stat Crew had a tough night on the opening preseason.
It was definitely. I guess at one point the Tampa Bay PR guy came and tapped the guy on the shoulder and said, "You're out."
Fired.
And took over.
You know,
it was that bad.
With the Justin Rogers thing, you know, one of the things that I was impressed about with him didn't happen in the game, but happened a couple of days later at training camp when, you know, obviously a guy who flashed, you know, in the game, people were going to be interested in him. So a couple of the reporters went after him on Sunday, I think, or maybe Monday, to do their stories. And he was very critical of his play, which I'm sure endeared himself to the coaching staff and the way they do things here. He wasn't talking about his sack. He wasn't talking about any of his tackles. He was talking about, you just have absolutely no filter whatsoever. I wasn't talking about his sack, and Andy, of course, had to give him like a school child.
Right. Gary chuckled, too.
No, Gary chuckled when you laughed. I observed the whole thing. Anyway, he was talking about his inability to set the edge in the running game.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
On a key play late in the game that actually on the last drive. And that's what he was very critical of himself. And I bet that was something that the coaching staff was looking to hear, because I'm sure that that's what they were focusing on, because that's much more important in the grand scheme of things. Those outside linebackers have to do that. So I bet that was something that they said, okay, maybe this kid gets it and he understands what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. Mike Richardson, I thought, had a decent game.
I think he's been really good the last couple of weeks of practice. I think he's coming on.
Yeah. Brandon Merriweather, I think, didn't look as good in the game as he did in practice.
But again, that's expectations. It's what you thought he was going to be coming into the game, and then when you saw. Did you go in thinking Mike Richardson was anything? No. And so he makes a couple plays, and you're like, well, this guy's not that bad. Right. I actually think what Richardson has done so far is a lot what his college coach told me when I did his draft profile, whatever. You can see if he does the right thing and sort of knows what he's supposed to do and he knows where he's supposed to be, he's okay. But if he gets a step behind at any point, he doesn't really have the speed and athleticism to catch up and make a play. So he really has to be sort of ahead of his game mentally, because the physical just isn't there.
Let's see. Anyone else?
Well, the one thing that we have
Mike
to...
Mike Wright played well.
Did play well. One of the things that I'm keeping an eye on is Ty Warren. We saw him very briefly in that game. He left. We saw him come back out of the locker room, back on the sidelines, but never really got back into the game. Hasn't really practiced since then. That's the only – if you're going to look at any question marks about what came out of that game, that's one big one that I'm looking at now.
I just assume he's fine. I know there's reports that it's a minor elbow injury.
NFL.com has
reported the way he ran off and ran back at a pretty good pace, a three-quarter pace – leads me to, I mean, if you break your elbow, you can still run, but it's going to hurt if you try to run full speed. You know what I mean? So if I just kind of took that as a good sign where he's a key part of this team, and if anything happens in the first preseason game, it's, all right, you're done for the night. Take all the precautions you need to. My guess is that's relatively minor.
Right. And aside from that, there was really nothing else to speak of injury-wise. You know, they got out of it what they typically get out of it. It's the first game. The starters play a quarter and a half of that, maybe, and a lot of the young guys got in. You mentioned Merriweather before. I talked to him a little bit today after practice and asked him in particular about the play where the forced fumble took place, because he actually had a chance to make a tackle for a loss on the runner and completely whiffed. And that kind of slowed the runner down and gave the defense a chance to swarm and make We bill him that as a positive.
Did he say that? Did he say he whiffed on the play?
No, that's what we saw. That's what we saw from the press box.
Because I thought he actually did a pretty good job on that play.
He did.
That, maybe I got a bad look.
Well, that Eric shouldn't be saying we there.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was asking.
What do you mean by we?
You know, I wasn't there.
Sometimes when they have the
I was sweating, so I wasn't really paying attention.
When you have the interviews, sometimes you know one guy might have said it, and I was interested in what Merriweather said specifically. But what are you doing?
What? I covered my mouth. But anyway, along those lines, I wanted to say Randall Gay, another corner,
mm-hmm.
did a very
tackle.
Good job in tackling
yes,
on
did.
The outside when a runner would.
Yep.
He had
yes,
a couple
yep.
or, and almost in a row
two
where he had
row,
nice open field
and
tackles.
Didn't get hurt.
A big plus for him is not only did he make the play, he didn't get hurt.
Well, right. You know, Fred, you started off the whole thing by saying this is the last day of public access. One of the things I've been impressed with is the amount of guys that have kind of gone start to finish here without missing any practice time. And
keep your fingers crossed.
No, I understand that, but we always see guys coming and going from practice. There's a lot of guys, a lot of young guys that have not had to miss a single practice, and I bet that's another thing that's endeared them to the coaching staff, because that's one of the biggest things. Not only can you do it, but can you do it consistently and with some durability? And, you know, Mike Richardson, Bill mentioned specifically today, he's been out there every day. And that's a big plus. It sounds like a minor little thing. Wow, you know, we're applauding a guy for actually practicing every day, but it's a rarity in training camp. These guys have been, I think a lot of these guys have been able to do that.
Yeah, especially the younger, yeah. The
and youngers, a little bit of, who, the one position where that hasn't happened, obviously, is tight end. Not just the young guys, but everybody's missed time there. Appears they were working out a tight end on the field during the media portion of post-practice work. Not sure who it was yet. He would fall into the big white guy category.
Yeah. Wasn't in pads, but they were throwing
doing
passes
their usual
to him.
Thing.
Speaking of,
him,
speaking of
him.
Big white guys, you know who isn't one of them? Mike Elgin. I saw him standing there, and like I can't say this about too many NFL players, especially offensive linemen. But if we were in a bar and he said something to me, I'd walk right up to him. Like that's how unimposing he is. And I didn't know he was that small. Like I haven't really seen him close up. That was the first time I really saw him. He's going to have to be really, really, really good at the technique stuff because right. I just pictured him against Vince Wilfork, like you said before, Andy. And I said to Eric, I said, Vince Wilfork eats that for breakfast.
Right.
That's his breakfast right there. I mean, that's how small Elgin is.
He's at minimum a year from even sniffing any type of roster. I think he's a virtual lock for the practice squad. I think you'll see him here for a year where they see if they can, with Mike Woisek, the king of all kings in terms of strength and conditioning, if he can get him to put on 15 or 20 pounds, then I think you say, well, now he has a real – he needs to get – I know he's listed at 290. I'm not sure he's 290.
And he needs to get more muscle. I mean, he's not
well,
very
he lacks
well
power.
Built,
like, he is up, a technician,
top,
truly.
Yeah.
He lacks the power, the pop that he'd need to – even if he's just going to be a technician, you still have to have some playing strength or you get run over. You can't just get in the way. You know, I think in high school and college you can kind of just get in the way and there's a seam there and the back hits it and that's enough. You can't do that in the pros. They'll run right through you. They'll make you look ridiculous. So – he needs to add some pop, but I do think he's a virtual lock for the practice squad because of his breeding there at Iowa and the coaching staff.
And along those lines, another guy that we saw got a little bit extra time in the preseason game than we might have thought was Clint Oldenburg.
Oh, yeah, played some guard.
Yeah.
And some tight end.
Played some guard and actually, was an eligible tight end.
Story continues.
Yeah. So,
well, it's ending in Seattle, so might as well continue here.
Well, the Elgin thing, too, is, you mentioned, Andy, you talked to Richardson's coach with the draft, and I talked to Elgin's, and he was closer to 270, you know, when he played at Iowa. So that is really, really small for an interior lineman. And Andy's probably right.
You That's turned back the clock like 20 years.
Yeah, they're listing they're listing him in the 290 range now. That's probably what they would like to see him get to. You know, this year. I'm not sure he's there yet because he is a small guy. I saw the same thing that Tom did today. He was one of the guys that people were talking to, and, you know, you would never know that he was an offensive lineman, you know. But he, you know, by all accounts, he does do a good job. And I saw him in practice one of the days very early in camp, actually lined up across from Wilfork, and I thought he handled himself pretty well. You would have thought that would be one of those roller skate ones with Jonathan Sullivan last year, getting pushed around. But no, he stood his ground and did a reasonable job. He needs to get bigger, obviously, and everything Andy said is right about him. I think he's a lock for the practice squad.
Okay,
and I'm really looking forward to this game, not only because it'll be my first one of the year, but you know, I remember walking through those opposing locker rooms last year, and I just said to myself, boy. that Keith Bullock is one bad mother, and he is not happy. And this is an interesting situation.
Now I know coming up here. Bill Belichick has downplayed it the last 2 days when asked about.
The Titans are not downplayed.
No, right.
Their players and their coaches.
And they're the ones that are on the offensive here, so they're the ones you worry about.
There was a lot of bad blood from emanating from last season's game. Rodney thought he got a cheap shot. Teddy thought Rodney got a cheap shot.
They thought they laughed about it.
Penalties galore. I mean, it was everything that the ref had to do to get control of that
game.
And I think they did do a very good job at gaining control eventually. It was just a crazy game as far as penalties. It's got to linger.
After the game, I couldn't run to player quick enough. I mean, they were all over the Patriots. The Titans players calling them babies, calling them whiners. Bullock at the end of the game was saying, F Testaverde, F that old man.
It sounds like the Titans are now the new bad boys of the NFL because even this year they've fought amongst themselves in practice.
Well, I mean,
that happens in training camp.
That kind of thing I can see. Yeah, that happens a lot.
And it's basically, I mean, Keith Bullock is the really outspoken one. He's the one that is ticked off.
And he's a bad man.
Been as ticked off as he's been for the last, whatever it is, 7 months. And is looking for Rishay Caldwell.
To go to anger management class,
Yeah,
but there's different there's different kinds of bad. I know people that went to Syracuse when Keith Bullock was roaming around there, and even way back then they used to say, "Boy, I tell you, I've seen this guy in a bar, and you just don't want to get on the bad side of him." He's a Ray Lewis kind of bad man. So that's what worries me. Some guys are dirty. And
should
I think
worry Rishay Caldwell.
Well, yeah, and I think like a guy like Mawai in a real game, if he thinks he can get advantage, might try to do something dirty. I don't think he's going to do anything in a preseason game. A guy like Bullock, who's looking to knock someone's head off, I think that's a little worrisome.
And he's looking to do it cleanly.
Yeah,
but he's just looking to play with an edge.
Right.
That's why Haynesworth, I think, is more along the lines of what you're talking about, Fred. That kind of a play,
right?
You don't want to see something like that. Yeah, that's there's no defending that. But the fighting amongst each other, you guys didn't see it the other night. Heath Evans and Rashad Baker went at it almost to the point where that Donnie Nicky play was. Baker came up, as we've seen him do a million times in these non-contact drills, and absolutely pasted Heath Evans when he caught a short pass in the flat, knocked him down. Evans got up and fired the ball right at him. I mean, just threw it as hard as he could right at him. And then
consider it.
And that he gave it that look, Gary. He got right over Heath got right over in Baker's face with the arms out, and Baker gave him a condescending slap on the face mask. Oh, I thought it was going to be on at that point, but a couple of guys came over. Cooler heads prevailed. That was probably about as close.
I think they should have let him fight. Loser's gone.
You know why I like Baker? He reminds me like that guy when there's a fight going on and won't get involved, but when it's about over, he'll kick somebody in the head and run away.
Why do you like that?
So you like that?
I'm just saying that's what I noticed in that mini camp. Like nobody was hitting, and Baker just goes around and crushes people for no reason whatsoever.
Just amazed he's still here.
But there is a little intrigue to this game because of those Bullock quotes and talking to Rishay Caldwell a bit ahead of his head on a swivel and stuff like that.
But he is only their sixth receiver, so he probably won't play when I play.
Yeah, that was a good quote. I got it. That was a
I don't know what.
Quote
I don't know what. I have no idea what Caldwell could have done to draw the
I believe it was after the touchdown. Remember the long touchdown where he beat Ronaldo
Hill?
It can't
be just that, though.
No, but he celebrated. I don't know.
He celebrated, but I mean,
something after that he did. I don't know.
There's got to be something.
There's got to
be something on the field.
Well, didn't also Caldwell get absolutely pasted in that game?
No, that was Cincinnati.
That was the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
You're only about 3 months away.
I was going to say it was about 14 games earlier.
One was a September game. The other was a December game.
Tennessee, didn't one of our receivers get absolutely leveled in
Tennessee?
Game. Yeah, Tennessee.
Not that I recall.
Remember.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
They were open all day. I know that.
It's a secondary for Tennessee had a tough day.
AFC South champ.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. As far as injuries go, Watson's back in uniform.
That's a good sign.
Pierre Woods.
Stallworth's back in uniform. Pierre Woods is back in uniform. Maroney, is the red jersey off?
No.
Seau's red jersey is off.
Seau's is off. Maroney's is still on. Will Maroney play? Probably not.
I
wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so either.
Moss is not back.
No.
And I got a feeling we won't see Moss until the regular season.
I have a feeling that would be.
I think they know what they know about him, and I don't think they need to risk him being out there anymore.
Yeah, I think they're probably pretty comfortable with the amount of times that he caught passes already from Brady in practice, and they're comfortable with that.
Yes.
Yep.
I think their only concern now is the injury.
Now, with Maroney, I think it might be a little different. I was asking Andy about this, actually, upstairs before the press conference. Do you guys feel, Andy and I felt the same way, do you guys feel that it's necessary to get Maroney maybe some carries in the preseason?
I do, too.
We're all in agreement.
I do, too, especially if they're doing that a different little blocking where they're doing more cutback running and stuff. I think he needs to get
his time. He wasn't running well at the end of last year, so now – even if it's like 10 carries in the first quarter of the third preseason game, just to get him a taste.
I think it's important him. I think it's important for the offensive line to have him running
because
behind them.
We also have to remember, there's no cupcakes. Or, I mean, you start right out Jets, Chargers, so you kind of want to have your offense at least clicking a little bit.
Yeah, and even I think all the points you guys made are excellent. But, even on top of all of that, he's only in his second year. He only had, 11 carries a game last year, or 12 carries a game, somewhere in that neighborhood. He needs the work.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a, LaDainian Tomlinson or a Larry Johnson who's had extensive carries over the last several years. He needs the work to get himself ready, and hopefully...
I'd be surprised if it's this week, though.
It won't be this week.
Next week, probably like Andy said, maybe a quarter or two.
Let me amend that. I won't say it won't be. I'd be very surprised if it would be, because Bill's thing generally is if you don't practice, you don't play.
Well, plus, he needs to be activated by the doctor.
And even though he's practicing every day, he's not taking contact. So there is a difference there. But he needs, I think, to get some reps in the preseason. And Bill talked about today, hopefully, that'll be the case. Moving forward, he'll be able to get a chance to do that and be ready for the season opener. But he didn't say definitively, not surprising. Bill doesn't
and I
usually.
Think I think Andy brings up a good point.
I agree.
I know we haven't talked about it much, but it's conceivable this team could start out 0-2 if they were upset by the Jets. You don't want to be 0-1 with San Diego coming here, because we all know how badly San Diego wants that game and how talented they are on the field. Forget how...
Right.
The revenge factor.
Plus, we saw they could lose to the Chargers and it wouldn't be an upset. I think the Jets beating them
would be an upset. 0-2 is 0-2.
I'm just saying to back up Tom's point. I agree with him. If the Jets upset them, you could be 0-2 by, you could play a great game against San Diego.
Right.
They could beat you.
And let's be honest. We've talked about how different the competition and the talent level is, but the offense is still questionable. You don't really know who's doing what. If Moss tweaks it in the first quarter, maybe he's out of the game, and you don't know what Watson is right now. You don't know what Brady is right now. If Maroney's not playing, well, that's pretty much all your weapons. The only guy you count on is Tom Brady. So,
So let's get right to it here. Let's get right to it. Better chance.
I don't even know who Wes Welker is, and I live in Miami.
Better chance. 0-2 or 2-0. Better chance of happening.
2-0.
0-2.
Yeah, but you got to look at San Diego.
I go 2-0. Yeah. Better chance.
2-0.
Suck up.
No, wow. It's
I just
realistic.
I'm Paul Perillo.
Yeah, that's what I normally.
Patriots.
That's what I normally do.
Look at my Drew jersey.
I don't see them
on.
Losing
look
to
me.
The Jets. I don't see them losing.
Why?
To the
why?
Jets.
I'd like
Fred,
to see how
explain
they
explain to me why I get chastised for supporting the team that I work for.
When
explain
did you start supporting
me.
The team that you work for?
Yeah. I have my Drew jersey.
I'm a little confused by that statement, too.
Thanks, Fred.
Why can't you ever just take my side? Just once. One time.
So you think...
No, but I think in this case, Paul's being unbiased in his thought. I mean...
There you go.
No, let's just look on it, at it realistically.
Realistically,
maybe you should ask him for support.
0-2 or 2-0, it's more realistic that they're 2-0.
Fred has actually unlocked the key to me. Whenever I say anything positive, that generally means it's unbiased.
Right.
So one of the games is against arguably the most talented team in football that has players that are the best
at
their
position.
With a
completely new coaching staff.
I understand that. I'm not saying it's a lock in either direction.
And it's at Gillette.
But if I had to pick a 51% that they're either going to go 0-2 or 2-0, I think 0-2.
See, I just I'm going
to
be stunned if they lose.
Is Thomas
to the Jets.
Jones
out? Why?
That's my thinking too. I don't see them losing.
That's
they lost to the Jets last year, and I think the Jets are
and
a better team.
And I was stunned.
But I'm
that
that's
they
what
lost.
I'm
I think
a
they're
confused.
A better team.
You guys in week one would be totally shocked if remember last year the Patriots came out. Like Andy said, they weren't really hitting on cylinders yet. They were a little lethargic, and Buffalo kind of jumped.
Come on, even up right now. You got to bet on either the Jets or the Patriots week one. Who do you bet on?
I'm betting on the Patriots.
Of course,
me too. But now I have to do it 2 weeks in a row.
I'm a little surprised that you guys would be
shocked.
In all likelihood, they're going to be 1-1. I mean, that's probably the most best option for two playoff teams.
But that wasn't an option.
Exactly. That's why I go 0-2.
So you think there's a better chance that they lose to the Jets than that they beat the Jets?
No, I think there's a better chance they lose both. I think there's a chance. I think there's a very good chance they can lose to the Chargers because I think the Chargers are a very good football
team.
That's pissed off. That like Keith Bullock, but it's an entire team that's maintained the
grudge. But there's also a very good chance that they beat the Chargers.
I agree.
There's a
but you're asking me 51% chance,
right?
Of a 2-0 and or an 0-2.
That tips.
Never have I regretted bringing up a topic more than I have right now.
I think that tips the 2-0.
I think 0-2. Is that okay? Can I have an opinion?
I
thought
guess,
the Broncos were going to win in Denver. Who won? The Broncos.
Reality. I don't think it's there's anything wrong with your pessimism.
No, it's based on two pretty good football teams. Do you think both those teams could be in the playoffs?
Jets and San Diego?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you open the season knowing you won't be playing your best football, right? Bill Belichick admits there's no way his team is going to be playing as well.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Who said they were?
The Patriots aren't the Arizona Cardinals.
And if
Cardinals.
Marcellus Rivers lines up with Sammy Morris in the backfield starting with Jabbar Gaffney and Rishay Caldwell, then
really,
I feel even better.
Do you really think there's a chance of any of that happening?
I know.
Think there's a chance of some of those things.
What? Well, which one?
Any of them.
What if Jack
Marcellus
Pennington
Rivers
gets hurt
Sammy
next
Morris
week?
Is start?
Yeah.
Watson's okay. back.
How do I not know that the first hit that Lawrence Maroney takes, he doesn't re-injure his shoulder?
How do I know Chad Pennington's arm doesn't fall off? I mean,
yes, but the Patriots have that question at like five spots on the starting offensive.
I don't have that question.
And you know what's going on with the Jets that
either
month?
He really likes the Jets, or he just told me the Patriots are headed for an 8-8 season.
No, I just think there's a lot of early season offensive question marks.
I don't share those questions.
In the league.
Yes.
For every team in the league.
But when you're playing two playoff teams like the Patriots are, I think you have a chance you could lose.
Realistically, from what you know about every team, aren't the Patriots in a pretty good position right now? Okay.
Yes.
That gives them the
But
edge.
I think the Chargers are in a pretty good position, too. I think they're a pretty good football team.
But Fred brings up a good point. They have you're talking about a new, a receiver here and there. They got a new head coach, an entirely new staff.
And the time to get a new staff is early in the season. And you're at home.
Okay. I could argue that the time to get new talent is early in the season. They're not clicking on all cylinders. They haven't practiced much together because they've all been hurt.
I got to tell you, I like watching Fred get all upset about these things. So
I don't have the same fears of having Sammy Morris and
could they be 0-2? Yes,
guys starting.
But if you have to choose between what most
okay, let's make this really annoying. What do you think the chances are that the 0-2, 2-0? You think it's like 70% chance they go 2-0?
I think
or?
It's 60-40. 60-40.
I would put it around that area.
Yeah.
You know what I think?
That doesn't matter what we think.
I think a team like the Chargers, I think if their talent takes over on the field, they'll be all right. But I'm afraid that they're going to be too psyched for this game, and I'm worried about that team's
that
mental.
That goes one or two ways.
That mental, their mental thing.
If John Merriman runs through Tom Brady because he's so psyched in the first quarter and the ball rolls loose, they might win 42-0.
If the Patriots go up 7-0.
Or 10-0.
I'll give you the perfect example. Is Pittsburgh to open Gillette Stadium here. They had the same kind of thing that San Diego has right now. They thought they were the better team, and let's face it, fact, they probably were a better team in 2001 AFC Championship game. They let a game slip away because of just unbelievably bad luck / sloppiness.
Play.
I mean, you get a field goal blocked for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown that shouldn't have happened because they did it on the wrong side and all that stuff.
And Cordell Stewart, a quarterback.
And all that stuff. But they probably figured they were a better team than the Patriots, and I'm not sure they were wrong. They came in that whole offseason talking about how great they were, how they were going to come in here and kill the Patriots, and the opposite happened. The Patriots pasted them.
But don't you think that usually goes very much in either direction? Either that energy you've been carrying all offseason carries you to a blowout,
that's why I don't
or
like
you get
it,
killed.
It can go, just go and play the game. And one of the things I'll say is, the reason why the Patriots have so much success, I think, other than the fact they have Belichick and Brady, which is the reason why we all think they have
which
the
is
most.
98%.
Well, but you know how you always hear the Patriots way. But one of the things I think
they do
well is that they don't look at last year. Here you got Keith Bullock coming in complaining about last year. Mm-hmm. You got the Chargers talking about last year. Just let that stuff go.
I agree with you. Especially with the Keith Bullock thing, I thought it was a striking contrast that he's talking about that stuff. He's a pretty good player, and he's been around for a long time. It's not like he's a rookie who doesn't know any better.
Just shut
up.
He's
talking about stuff like that, and Bill Belichick is saying, we're doing what we can, our best to prepare our team. And I just think the contrast to those two statements was striking, and it's a big reason as to why the Patriots have the success that they always have.
I may be coming along a little late on this because I like him so much. I have throughout the years. Any chance Jeff Fisher is really losing control of that team? Because things aren't happening in Tennessee like they
borderline,
normally.
And he's starting to say things he didn't normally say.
I'll tell you.
He's got the X-player emotion. There's no question he has that.
Two things that I think back that up. One is that he no longer has Floyd Reese there. okay? And I think that he was one of those guys that was very much like Bill, because I think Bill was influenced a lot. You know, I think they had a lot of respect for each other and did a lot of things in similar ways. So now that he's not there, I think maybe a filter is off from Fisher to talk like what Andy just said. He has that ex-player mentality. The second thing that is an example of that, I have not seen very many more embarrassing situations than Jeff Fisher trotting his players out after that fight that we were talking about with Donnie Nicky and Vince Young taking the swing, and those guys standing behind him at a press conference setting and behind microphones saying, everything is okay, right, fellas? We got no problems, right? That was utterly embarrassing, and I can't believe a guy with Jeff Fisher's resume was a part of that. That was like Lane Kiffin, to illustrate your point about the guy's not ready. That's what I expect from that guy.
Vince Young took it to heart so much that he slept at home 2 weeks later.
I was going
to
say, that's another. I mean, he clearly doesn't respect.
The ship is sinking.
There was a lack of respect there at some point between the star in the making and the head coach.
AFC South champs.
Well, I think that was
an example number of Fisher maybe trying to grab back a little bit of that control that maybe he had lost.
I mean, I don't think Vince Young does that with Bill Belichick. Even if Bill Belichick's coming off a 4-12 season or a 3, whatever.
I agree.
There's a certain air there that you either have or you don't, and I think there's a question of whether Fisher has it right now.
And since we're on the topic of coaches, to just go back to the San Diego game for a second, I know it was mentioned sort of earlier, they have Norv Turner.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Enough said. Okay, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Sean Marion.
The Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed down and out.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're talking about...
And there's something else we should mention about Tennessee. That franchise continues to go south by the people they hire. They got a new media relations guy down there who's probably running that team into the ground by now.
Who?
Puffer is down there.
Oh, he's down there?
Yeah.
Okay. But such an idiot.
Is he the head guy?
No. He's three.
So why would he go from being number three?
Because they
want
to live in the Midwest.
There.
He's trying to get into the Midwest.
Closer to his in-laws.
And let me ask you a question, Fred.
What? I like those kind of statements.
How enjoyable do you think being the media relations person here is?
What's that?
Well, that's true, too. Who do you think it's more fun to work for?
Look what's going on in Tennessee. They're probably having a ball.
Yeah.
Spinning out of control. No, I'm just saying. I'm saying in Tennessee, they let you do whatever they want.
Where do you think there's more pressure on a PR guy, more stress?
There. Right now. Right now.
Why? Because of what's happened
with Pac-Man Jones and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of dying down a little bit. You know, I think a couple months ago that was huge.
I just like your line about why would you go from being number three here to number three there? Like,
maybe he got more money.
Who on the planet would ever possibly take a lateral move to live in Tennessee?
Right. Well, actually, he seemed like a nice little up and coming city. I liked it.
He was number four here.
Well, he's. It depended on how you looked.
You wanted number two. Number
I understand who all the people involved are, but it all depended on how you looked at the map.
All right.
He just wanted to. They were looking to move
off air.
So
probably move on. As he's rattling off the individuals involved.
Web radio at Patriots.
Our depth chart on the PR department goes.
There's another email that'll be waiting for me when I get upstairs.
Web radio at Patriots.com. And Gary's writing down. And phone number is 508-543-7482.
You must. I guess people just don't take Andy seriously. Because if I said something like that, I'd either be getting talked to from HR.
What did I say now?
Call, you're just going off on tangents on people.
About what?
And just everything. I mean, people you work with. But nobody, I just don't think anyone takes you seriously. Because I think
that's true.
Well, that's been my reason for living for the last 5 years. Just don't take them seriously. We get along wonderfully.
No, yeah. I think I said that, Andy.
I'm not sure you did.
John in Palm Bay's on the phone. John, how you doing?
To you? I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I got a quick question. I wrote you guys an email before I went to work. I noticed I went to the game this week because I live in Florida. All the quarterbacks on both teams are wearing green dots on the back of the helmet. What's up with that?
Andy, why don't you touch on that?
It is something that is new this year. The officials have put green dots on all quarterbacks' helmets that have the quarterback-to-coach communication device built into them because, by rule, you're only allowed to have one of those helmets on the field at any one time. So it's basically for teams like the Jets who have a Chad Pennington and a Brad Smith who they might have on the field at the same time. When Brad Smith comes on the field, he has to be wearing a helmet that doesn't have a green dot on it. It's kind of a minor thing because, as I pointed out to Paul earlier, if you wanted to cheat and have two guys with the communication device on the field, all you have to do is peel the green helmet off the back. So it's just something for the officials so that they can kind of keep track of whether a guy is wearing one of those quarterback-to-coach audio devices or not.
Okay, that helps. And the only other question I have is, do you know, like, the first logo, the helmet, as I call it, it's kind of like a red helmet. The Patriots have any plans to ever wear that again?
A red helmet?
Like just a red helmet was their 1960 or 59 logo.
1960, they had a white helmet with a tricorn hat on it.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean, the tricorn hat.
They'll probably never wear that, no, but they do probably will wear the throwback at some point
soon,
down the
road. Actually, I think in 2 years, I think there's plans for that, right?
Yeah, and I think that alternate jersey, the silver one's going away.
It is red.
That is going away.
Bueno Rojo.
Rojo. All right, Gary, thank you very much for calling. John in Palm Bay.
Gary called John in
Palm
Bay.
Gary, thanks for calling John in Palm Bay. I actually thought it was a good recovery because I think he said, Gary, thanks for calling, and then he realized it was
Man,
John.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Alex in Montreal.
He must have been hot.
Alex
was hot
in Montreal.
There.
It was very sticky there.
Oh, my God. It was like hitting a wall.
In the press box, too.
Yeah.
I thought Andy was going
to
kill him.
We got to give a shout-out to the Tampa Bay press because that food spread was second to none of all the stadiums we've ever been to.
I normally hold that spot just for the Meadowlands, but... this one even blew the Meadowlands away.
Yep. So good job, Tampa.
And what was? And who missed the trip? Tom Casale.
Yeah, but he can't take advantage of
anything. Yeah, he wouldn't have eaten anything.
The Meadowlands is my kind of place. Bread, meat, put it together, have a sandwich.
They had that?
You could have done that
they
at the Tampa.
Right. I mean, I'm sure it was good. I'm just saying with
great,
the Meadowlands.
You would have been... bags of pretzels, bottled water.
Yeah, see that.
They had everything you need. And then it went all the way up to Carving Station, ice cream treats, all that.
They had Bananas Foster for dessert.
What's that?
At halftime. It's the kind of dessert you got to order ahead of time when you go to a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Gary's making obscene comments behind the glass on paper.
Oh. All right.
Don't read them, Fred.
Alex in Montreal says, I thought
you're
it was
the one
cool.
That drops the F-bombs.
Sorry, Fred. I thought it was cool to see Josh McDaniels at the press conference a couple days ago, and I was just wondering... what you guys thought of him. Also, I hate to look too far ahead, but I was wondering if you guys think he might be a candidate for the Pats head coaching job whenever Bill retires. And Paul's the man.
I think he'll probably have a head coaching job by then, don't you?
Probably.
Well, it all depends on when you think Bill's going to retire. And I don't currently look at him as head coaching timber right now.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But I don't look at a lot of guys. I'm talking about when he'll be hired. I'm not saying
was
necessarily
Eric Mangini
he's ready.
Head coaching timber?
But if they have a good season this year, he could be one of those young guys that
sure. Say that all this talent comes together, the anti-Andy approach to this season, and you know they're firing for 400 yards passing and 100 yards rushing every. I mean, they're putting
his
up ridiculous
up.
Numbers.
His name will come up.
I think there's a good chance people start saying McDaniel's guy.
I think they're going to say, well, with Tom Brady, Randy Moss, et al., you better be doing
well.
That.
But look,
I don't think he's going to get a lot of credit.
How come it wasn't Bill Belichick, Teddy Bruschi, and those guys doing it? Eric Mangini got the love.
How come it wasn't?
I think that
your argument about Mangini is a good one, but I just think he's not.
And
really
Lane Kiffin's got a job.
I was going to say Lane Kiffin, Mike Tomlin.
So Fred, I think you're missing the point. He coaches under Belichick.
Tomlin.
That's a positive.
Tomlin. He's still
so
too young.
I know what you meant.
What Mangini's young. Lane Kiffin is young. Those guys. Sean Payton is young.
And don't you think someone looks
kind
at
of
it
trend
and says
where they want the young hotshot coordinator?
And Bill handed over his championship offense, which with Tom Brady, to a guy who was an intern like 5 years ago. Don't you think Al Davis goes, "Well, this guy must be good," or you know, one of these owners looks at that and says, mm-hmm. "If Bill's willing to hand him that responsibility,
not Al Davis, but Daniel Snyder, because Joe Gibbs
somebody.
Will probably be going."
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I just don't think he's ready yet.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between is he ready or is he going to get a job?
And I think that.
But
other teams won't think that he's
but
ready.
But we all also, to a man, didn't think Mangini was ready, and clearly he was ready. Now, whatever happens to Mangini from here on in, he was ready. He proved that he was ready. He was a good coach.
Right.
He proved that he could be a good coach.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't mean he's going to have 10-win seasons.
What happens from here on in, that remains to be seen. But he proved that he could put together a program, and he did it pretty quickly.
And the other issue is what kind of job he gets offered. I think he feels pretty comfortable here. And if the Raiders come, if they fire Lane Kiffin after 1 year and the Raiders offer him the job,
I don't think
he takes it.
Say it's the Redskins. That's a pretty proud franchise.
That would be
Snyder
a tough one.
There. He's going to give you probably some money.
He would give you set for life.
They'll always
money,
have
probably.
Some talent. They're never going to be, bottom of the barrel.
But you're also, does he want to work with a meddling owner? What has he talked with Bill about and that kind of stuff?
I think he gets a
chance at some point.
I agree with you, Fred, but I have to admit that Tom and Andy make compelling arguments for the other side. I mean, there are young guys out there. Mangini was not an overly impressive guy in his limited media opportunities. It wasn't like you looked at him and said, wow, that's an impressive guy.
Right.
You know, he's going to be a head coach someday. But yet a team wanted to make him defensive coordinator before he became the Pats defensive coordinator, and then right away after that, the team was willing to make him its head coach.
And to be fair, he had a connection with Tannenbaum and the Jets, and there was a foundation laid for why it would work. I mean, Mike Tomlin, how old is he?
Yeah, 35, I think, or something like
he's
that.
He's a guy that, based on what I saw, you know, obviously we know how I feel. Like they didn't make any adjustments, all that crap. He got a job. I just think it's sort of a trend that young coaches who have a good, track record working with some.
And truth be told, I think that's a good trend.
This is how bad I've become. I got called out by my wife last night. We're watching that Pittsburgh game. She said, well, who's the coach now for Pittsburgh? I go, Mike Tomlin. She goes, isn't he the pitcher for the Red Sox? I'm like, yeah, you're right.
He's our boss.
What are you going to do?
Is this the man?
All right.
Wasn't that game?
It was on NFL Network. They replay all the games.
Oh, okay.
It was on last night.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Were you aware that the game wasn't live?
No, I don't care. I was just watching it.
So I'm going to take that as a no.
It's live. It's live to you,
I
right?
I just came back from having John Hanna and Pete Brock show me offensive line blocking techniques. It was unbelievable. It was one of those moments.
Did they use you as the tackling?
Was involved at one point.
Because Hannah likes to do that. He's done that a few times.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah had Donna and Lori involved one day up in the
office.
Wow. Like all kind of
sounds better when you put those names in there than Fred and Pete Brock.
All right, easy.
I'm just saying.
Andy's just spinning out of control. He's off access even for him today.
Just saying. Now, how did this come up?
What?
Like,
it was at the end of the meeting, and we were just talking about some of the young block, some of the young linemen on the Patriots, and of course Hannah's interested in Wesley Britt, and we're talking about that, and Pete Brock started talking about this Nike camp that he was involved in Florida, and they had this kid from Northern Alabama there, this kid Ben Jones, who no one had heard about, and came in and just stiffed every blue chip defensive lineman they had in the camp. And now,
so now he's a blue chipper.
Well, after the camp, Michigan, everybody came up to him, and he committed to Georgia. He's now committed to Georgia. Mm. But this kid, Ben
Jones. Another example of how somehow Georgia gets the best talent in the country.
He never wins.
And yet finds a way never to compete for the national title.
But this kid, Ben Jones, and Pete Brock was calling him Big Country during this camp, showed up.
Brian
you know, Reed. A lot of these kids get driven by their parent or whatever, and, you know, or a booster or whatever. This kid showed up in like an old GMC pickup truck, drove himself from northern Alabama to this thing.
So Hannah's
and,
in love.
And just, yeah. Well, Hannah says he's not going to, he's a senior in high school now. Hannah's going to go to one of his practices.
Too bad Northeastern couldn't get that guy.
they might have before he got before he drove that pickup truck.
So they started talking about this, and then they started talking about technique and what the Patriots are doing, and back in their day, what they used to do, and how Cincinnati did something that was just amazing that no other team was doing, which was instead of firing out, they take this one step back and let you dictate, and then whatever you did, they would use your you know, and it was like something that very few teams would think of doing, and they'd watch film and they'd be like, how are they doing that? You know, that's what Anthony Munoz was on the team. And you know,
hey, Fred, the next
really
time you
guys.
See him, ask him why the Cowboys offensive linemen used to stand up.
Well, this is what we're talking about. And you know, we were talking about like how the offensive line play has evolved. And I said, well, didn't Dallas kind of change everything by just putting these monsters up there? And they didn't have to use technique. They just mauled guys, and you know. So we just started.
Well, that was the later Dallas, right? That was
the
more modern.
That's
Dallas.
The '90s Dallas.
He's talking about the '70s.
We're talking about the Landry,
where they used to stand up before the snap and then go back down in the stance.
Yeah. That was high school football.
Yeah.
I always thought that was just Dallas being.
Oh, I didn't know if there was like a theory behind it.
No,
or
it's
they just do it.
It's a unity thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How do you know?
I know.
Okay.
A lot of teams do that. Okay. They
a lot of teams do that?
One team.
There's only one NFL team that I ever saw do
it. A lot of teams do something before the snap that's like the unity thing.
What do the Patriots do?
I don't know. We're just trying to get the center to quarterback exchange right.
Okay. Trying to get a first down.
He's trying to walk out on the field.
A very good answer by Fred. We're just trying to get the center quarterback exchange down.
All right. Ryan writes, in the loser who emailed about too much tech talk must either be a Luddite idiot or simply not as devoted a fan. Those of us who have moved from Dunkin' Donuts land crave the Pats almost as much as the coffee and always want more. So you can go suck my iPod for all I care, buddy.
Whoa.
Emailer and emailer. Good news, in case you haven't heard, New England Patriots podcasts have cracked the top 100 sports podcasts on iTunes. This is the only franchise-specific podcast in the top 100, meaning that the awesome job you all do must have some combination of crossover appeal and hardcore Pats fan devotion. Keep up the great work, especially Casale, who easily does twice the work or maybe just talking of anyone there.
Well said.
the latter part, absolutely.
Thanks to Chris for all the help in syncing Patriots Today to my video iPod. I appreciate a couple Chris things. Ferrer. One, I'm assuming that all of the Patriots video from the website will eventually migrate over to the podcast, including the coach press conferences, which currently do not. Please let us know if this is not the plan.
Fred?
I think that it will. I think it is.
Aren't you?
It may not be all
correct
on.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but aren't you the guy who makes these decisions?
Well, new media?
If you should go to thepatriots.com to get the downloads and not always iTunes.
Bahamas.
And whatever blog software you should be able to tell you about PFW's blogs, RSS feed, then we can simply subscribe to it. If for some reason you don't have one, you might want to migrate the blog over to another software provider, which really isn't
in that
all
email.
That.
Well,
difficult.
Chris Ferreira migrated the blog
right off the
page,
the homepage.
So don't worry about it.
Finally, just so that the email hater doesn't complain about no football talk, a question here. Do you think we will see the Pats in a run-and-shoot formation at all this season? It would seem to make sense given Maroney's running style, the depth at wide receiver, and the nagging injuries at tight end. Might make sense against weak secondary teams like Cincinnati and Buffalo.
My guess is Bill Belichick can't even form the words run and shoot. He hates it so much.
Now, if you're talking about spread, one back kind of stuff, see some of that.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about, just a formation. And, yes, I do think you'll see a lot of one back sets with four wides and, you know, three wides and maybe one tight end and stuff like that. But not the run and shoot.
Right.
Tom's absolutely right.
I mean, Bill's not as animated as Buddy Ryan, but you know he got a chuckle, and Buddy used to call it the chuck and duck.
I can imagine Bill Belichick Belichick not even be able to sleep at night the night before playing a run-and-shoot team, being so excited to hold a team that averages 500 yards of offense to about three.
And he shut him out when he, remember the Lions, he was talking about that? He said, well, what happened? Well, we won 23-0.
Well, I think a 3-4 defense is especially, you know, well-formed to fight a run-and-shoot because you got all those linebackers out there. You can spread it out. When they spread you out,
I didn't see Buddy Ryan running a 3-4, and I saw, what was it, four Oiler receivers got taken off the field that Monday night. Ernest Givens got his face mask broken in half. I just think great defensive coordinators used to take that as a challenge because it was so flashy, and they just, whatever your defensive scheme was, they wanted to shut that down because that was kind of a badge of honor.
All right. Alex says, I have an ESPN bias, and I think that Michael Irvin is a jerk. But after his speech during his Hall of Fame induction, I felt curious about those Cowboys teams of the early 90s, a team I didn't get to watch. One thing that struck me was relatively few passing TDs Troy Aikman had. He reached the 20 TD plateau just once. I know Emmitt Smith was a terrific runner, especially in the short yardage situations, and that Aikman also missed quite a few games every year. But why so few passing TDs? Were they a smash-mouth type of offense, and what kind of role did Irvin have?
Well, I can tell you there's two. I mean, I believe Aikman is a tad overrated when you start comparing him to, like, Elway and those guys. I don't think he's a guy who could do what Elway and Marino and Montana can do. But the stat thing, when people try to argue that he's overrated, doesn't really make a lot of sense because the Cowboys' philosophy was to throw early in the game and then run the ball like as much as they could in the second half. That's why it's amazing Emmitt Smith lasted as long as he did, because they absolutely killed him. And they never, and I mean never, threw the football inside the five-yard line.
I was going to say,
ever.
Emmitt Smith was one of the best goal line runners, and they ran the ball in from the one-yard line. It was never It was never first in goal from the one, play action, easy touchdown to Novacek. They never did that.
That's
and
the Patriots.
Brady does that
was
all
Aikman
the time.
Was Aikman mobile at all? He wasn't very mobile.
Well, he ran the option at Oklahoma, but he wasn't.
And left.
He was a mobile guy, like for a.
Every once in a while,
you know,
he impresses me.
He wasn't on the move a lot. He was a 3-5. You know, they drop back, fire, drop back, fire. He didn't move around in the pocket a lot.
He was a lot like Brady.
Similar
you
to Brady.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Let's see.
Tom, quick aside, did you see that your two former coaches are pairing up on Fox? Switzer and Jimmy Johnson are going to have a weekly segment together on the pregame, one of the pregame shows.
You've got to be kidding.
Really?
Well, that ought to be
a hoo-ha. Why do they, why do they keep bringing that Barry Switzer back from the dead? He must know a lot of people. He's one smooth salesman.
Or he pulls a gun on him and says, so I hear you got an opening on the show.
And Tom said this before, but Aikman did not miss a lot of games.
Oh, no. Nope.
All right. Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. On the phone is Mike in Sharon. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Fred. Last week you talked about the lack of contact at camp, and I tend to agree with you. I mean, I've been going to camp since it was down in Smithfield, and, you know, I'm kind of worried, especially with the Titans coming in this week, and them being so physical last year, and this year, you know, I mean, it seems like almost like Belichick's kind of called them this year in camp.
Well, I mean, that's, Mike, I missed maybe three or four practices. I haven't been to a practice yet that has had contact. Now, these guys have told me that every time I miss a practice, it's Braveheart out there.
That's not true. You missed one really good night practice.
No, there is definitely – Mike and Sharon is definitely right. They haven't had as many lively contact-oriented practices as we've seen in the past.
Is coddled the word?
But
is it a veteran roster with age,
you know,
injury
think,
concerns?
I think it's a combination. It's a balancing act. can I get into my
thanks,
bills?
Paul. I'd rather you didn't.
No, I just think that it – I don't think it's necessarily coddling, but they have had more contact practices, Fred, than you've probably been willing to admit.
I just haven't seen them.
And I also think part of the problem, and I keep saying this – is that we've had access to practices that in the past we haven't. And there are practices like today's where it's basically a walkthrough and there's no contact at all. Well, not so much today as much as some of the other walkthroughs, but I don't think we saw those. And I think when you add those to the ones that you do see, it seems like there's less contact. I think it's a little deceptive. But I have noticed a little bit of a drawback in terms of that goal line thing that we talk about all the time. We haven't seen any of that. haven't seen maybe as much of that one-on-one, you know, lineman against defensive lineman and stuff like that. But I don't have the definitive reason as to why, and I would guess that Bill would deny that there's been any change because he always says it's pretty much the same every year.
Bill and apparently Rashad Baker didn't get the memo.
Yeah,
either.
Rashad Baker didn't get the menu, the memo.
Well, like last week's game, you know, there were a lot of arm tackles, it seemed. Well, maybe it's just the fact that we had third stringers in there for most of the time. But there were a lot of arm tackles, and, you know, we haven't really had, you know, like when Rodney Harrison first came here, you know, he just decked Troy Brown in training camp, and we all looked at each other and were like, wow, you know? And it's just like the first fight we had was yesterday or the day before. And usually we have, you know, one or two scuffles during camp, which we haven't really had.
I can't disagree with you, Mike.
There haven't been a lot of fights, I'll say that.
No. Does that indicate a lack of intensity?
Yeah,
I don't think it does. I don't think they tackle a lot in camp. I've never seen a lot of tackling.
Right. Usually if it's a tackle, it's kind of a cheap shot from Harrison or Brewski or one of those guys.
Or Rashad Baker.
So, I don't know. I've seen a little bit less, but I'm not as concerned as you are, Mike, or certainly not as concerned as Fred's been for a week and a half.
Every time Fred's missed just, practice, it's pretty
hard. But just so you know, I was watching Hard Knocks, and it seems like they're hitting all the time. So I don't know which team you'd rather have, the Chiefs or the Patriots, or which coach you'd rather have, Belichick or Herm Edwards.
Well,
I think Belichick knows his team.
Right.
Right.
And he
of
knows
course,
how
if this
much
is
he
how
needs
he's
to push
doing
him.
It, it's the right way.
Yes.
And well, the right way will be the teams that start 5-0.
Those are my favorite Fredisms right there. If this is how he's doing it, then it's the right way.
I'll tell you in October
back to
who
you.
Did it the right way.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Mike and Sharon. Alejandro in Bogota says, I can't wait for the season to start and to get the show on a daily basis. After Bill Walsh's passing, there's been a lot of praise for his offensive style that enabled them to dominate the league. But looking back to the 80s, why do you think the Giants matched up so well against the 49ers? Have you ever talked to Bill Belichick about the defensive game plans against San Francisco during his tenure as defensive coordinator in New York?
I think those were the two best teams.
Right.
One had, if you look at that Giants defense, it's scary. I remember 2 years ago when he did the film for us, I was just looking at that Giants team, and you kind of forget some of the names, and when you remember them, you're like, my God, what a phenomenal defensive football team. Plus, you had Belichick with his schemes and everything. That's a great chess match right there. You're talking about two of the best coaches of all time, so I think talent and good coaching were the reasons they went up against each other.
And you remember when Bill made the comment, too, saying how back they could play the whole game, they could sit back and play cover two, and they never had to worry about doing all the other things. And also, they would draft guys, and they would almost make it a conscious effort to not take a defensive guy really early in the draft because they knew
he
had no chance of cracking the lineup. Unless it was a guy that they absolutely couldn't pass on, they wouldn't do it.
All right.
So that speaks to Tom's point about how good they were.
They were very good.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Phil from Nova Scotia.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward?
Going to be sacked.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2! Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution
Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. Of course, it's Wednesday. We'll be here for another hour until 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Today's the last day for public practice here. 5:30 is the last public practice. I'm expecting probably a pretty big crowd. What do you guys think?
I don't think so.
No?
I think the fans...
Well, based on this morning,
I just think the fans are kind of... They've been here, done that. It's not that... When you come and you see that, it's not really that exciting... A few times, I think they kind of weeded out.
The crowds have been great, though.
Unless
oh,
they
have. Oh, they have, but it's the last week, wouldn't you say, they started declining a little
yeah.
bit?
Well, today was the worst. I mean,
well, I think they might have gotten wind.
Unless they had it figured out that it was a morning, was only an hour and a half, walk it through. Might be more of a walkthrough.
I think tonight will be pretty big. I think you'll see all the regulars plus.
I think the regulars will definitely be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know how big the plus will be.
All right.
Well, there's a challenge to the fans. Get out here.
Well, a lot of the fans are in Fred's boat. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of complaints about...
Lack of contact.
Lack of contact, so maybe they've just given up.
Country club atmosphere.
Okay, well... All right.
Are you going to be harping on this in, like, week two if they go 0-2?
Well, if five guys get pulled off on stretchers, yeah. If they lose...
And that will be related to the fact they didn't bang?
Well, I'll look at why they lost before I say it's because they were too soft in training camp. I won't jump to that conclusion.
Yeah, he'll make up some excuse.
It's just an observation. I could be completely wrong. It's just my...
No.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It's just my perception.
Well, you've only missed four practices.
Right. And every time I do, it's Braver.
Him and Felger just missed four each.
Where is he?
He was here
today. He was there today.
Was he?
Yeah.
Really? Must have had it picked up his dry cleaner.
That's what I say. I say like he's going to the doctor's or something, right. And he drives by the exit for the stadium.
Right.
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
Gary, this doesn't mention the new tight end anywhere.
What are you reading?
I don't know.
You got
trying to figure out who the guy was. That
I asked
was working
him to
out.
Look for something. And
if Bubba Franks gets released from Green Bay, do we take him? Are we interested in Bubba Franks?
I don't know. Well, they do throw a lot of those 1 yard touchdown. Passes that he catches every year, so maybe that would be
but
a good fit.
Isn't he kind of washed up and overrated?
Yeah, I think
he's overrated.
I mean, they're looking for a lunch pail kind of guy, I think, not a washed up superstar.
He's the king, but
I think he's overrated.
He's a rich man's Christian Fourier, though. You look at it with 7 receptions. They're all those 1 yard
trips on the 5 yard line.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. Before we went to the break, I promised we'd get to Phil in Nova Scotia's email. He says, first, he's had some issues. First, he says, when Eric the Toe Fugazi, or whatever his name is, first arrived on the show, I thought it was an even worse idea than having poor Paul do a show by himself.
But he's been shots at that show.
But he's been improving over the last few weeks, so I'm willing to give him a chance for now.
That's
welcome
nice.
To the show, Eric. Just remember to not take the emails too seriously and try to keep up with the big boys.
Oh.
Wow.
Second.
Okay.
Concerning PFW.
There he goes, taking this seriously.
The guy pays you a compliment. You go, oh, okay. Ooh, I'll take what you say. Ooh.
He really took it to heart.
See, you know what, Eric?
Plus, you weigh 122 pounds. But we're the big boys.
You know what, Eric?
42.
You know what, Eric? He's missing something that one of us probably would have picked up on if it was ourselves. we're in the top 100 now. You should be saying that's because of you, since you got here.
Yeah, do we have a bonus structure
100.
In place for that?
I'm not like you guys.
You
I don't think
job,
that I'm.
Your bonus.
You know,
you're definitely not like us. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, and thank God for that.
All right, second, concerning PFW swag, I have an idea that was inspired by Nightmare Casale. You guys should sell red PFW jerseys for our wives to wear so that we don't waste our time or humiliate ourselves when there is no chance of contact. Ah. Then again, poor Tom would be seeing red almost every day by the sound of things. So a no-contact jersey for the wives.
See, a lot of ideas popping up.
Yeah,
there,
can we just get – I just wanted a golf shirt and a laptop bag.
Third.
Now we got bobblehead dolls.
Right. If you are still thinking of starting a web page to show the listeners what you guys look like, why not start a PFW Facebook page or group? That way even listeners could put our ugly mugs on the page.
No.
Even Sawyer from Iowa
I don't know
could
what
put
it
a picture of himself with his lipstick-wearing prize pig on the site.
Did you say you were Kyle?
Pig.
Did I what?
That's what Kyle does.
Yeah. No, I said I'm not 11.
Oh, because Kyle's got a Facebook page, so he can pretend he has friends,
come
even
on.
Though he doesn't.
I'll admit, if I was young like that, I'd probably be into that stuff. But you know.
Speaking of which, fourth, Sawyer from Iowa, who probably considers the movie Deliverance the best romantic comedy ever made, squeal like a piggy boy, should shut his pie hole if he doesn't like a little non-football talk on the show. Sawyer, did you write the email just for attention, or did your prize pig run out on you and you were looking for Shannon to give you another good beating to help numb the pain of lost love?
Wow.
Now my question.
Is this not Shannon? Who's this?
What are the chances that we will see Moss do any kick returns this year?
None.
Zero. Is there anything less than zero?
Negative.
I've never seen him do a kick return in my life. I don't think.
We actually have a better chance of seeing Eric the Leg do a kick return.
Yeah, I think he's done punts. I don't think he's ever done kickoff.
Returned punts a couple of times, but only for
has
show.
Has he really?
Yeah,
I'm
believe
sure
so.
He returned punts.
I believe so. Not on a regular basis.
Early on.
In Minnesota.
If they needed like a big play late in the game, they'd bring him in.
I'm so shocked. It would be like if the Jets beat...
Oh, here we go again.
The Patriots. I'm just saying, that's how shocked I am. Like, I wouldn't put any amount of money on it that he would never return to kick in his life. No, obviously you guys know. I'm just saying I'm
shocked.
Could
be wrong.
I don't think he actually returned the punt,
I don't feel
though.
Confident
I think he
aligning myself with the toe over here.
Well, you should. I'm rarely wrong.
Okay.
And when I am, I admit
I've done the research.
Paul has the research.
He has had, in his career, two kickoff returns.
Oh, we were wrong.
One in 2002 and one in 2003. And punt returns, he's had 18.
Wow.
17 of which came in 1999. Okay. He had one in 98, 17 in 99.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
That's it.
All right. I wouldn't expect it here.
I am mistaken. He had a fair catch in 2004. So, no, he hasn't done a lot of that. He is 4-for-8 as a passer, however, with two touchdowns and a pick.
Okay.
95.8 passer rating.
Farley in Marblehead says, hello, PFW and friends, Jake Steele, Superfan Paul, Incredible Shrinking Man, Sheriff Tom, Gary, and Ray Finkel. Who's Ray Finkel?
Ray Stinkel.
Oh.
Who's Ray Finkel?
Isn't that the guy that held on the Dan Marino laces out?
Jeez.
Yeah,
right?
And,
what's the name
Ace
of
Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Oh, I thought it was the guy in the character in... Starsky and Hutch. Give Finkel a little dinkle. Radio.
I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
You guys mentioned how the team was doing less goal line stuff than in years prior. Do you guys think this relates to the new stricter guidelines on concussions and subsequent player monitoring that the NFL has just instituted?
No.
Do you think Belichick is just being cautious about it because he has received scrutiny for how he's run his practices in the past?
No.
See Ted Johnson. By the way, I love the F-bomb Andy dropped last week. And I thought you guys were supposed to stop being lowbrow. Keep up the good work. So, Andy did drop an F-bomb.
I don't know exactly where that was going. The other part, I don't...
It was an accident. I take no pride in the fact that I swore.
I don't think anybody was questioning Bill Belichick's practice structure or anything like that. The question was, who was actually cleared to practice with Ted Johnson?
Right.
And I think that maybe if you might ask me, is Lawrence Maroney and Eric Alexander still in red jerseys as a result? Possibly. They may be erring a little bit on the side of caution with those guys. Maybe that's why Seau was in one as long as he was. But in terms of what they're doing at practice, you can't avoid hitting in football. I mean, let's face it. If a guy gets a concussion, you can't really avoid it. That's what makes this such a dilemma for the league. And that's why it's been discussed and analyzed as much as it has. Because, let's face it, it's an inherent part of the game. Guys are going to get hurt, and guys are going to have concussions.
And in hindsight, this discussion is why Paul believed, when I asked Bill Belichick about red jerseys and the decision process that goes into them, he may not have enjoyed the question.
No, I don't think he enjoyed it, to be honest.
Because I personally put no thought into history asking the question. I was asking just for this year. And
right.
He may have been on guard a little bit because of the events of the last.
And knowing him, he probably thinks we're trying to set him up, which we weren't.
Which, yes, but.
Which, judging on the elevator ride, may be accurate.
Well, look, another thing about hitting, though. I mean, remember last training
camp? How would you
know? Oh, very good.
Whoa.
There you go.
Well, he's been hit very
hard.
Times.
No, he hasn't.
Not in football.
Last year. Thanks, Fred. Now you've turned against me, too.
He was never aligned with you.
Last year in training camp, remember how many guys went on IR?
Yes.
I think possibly they're trying a new approach this camp. There's not – I mean, these guys are professionals. They don't need to learn how to hit. If they need to learn how to hit, they're not professionals. Okay, so
but it's not how to. It's just getting used to getting hit.
Getting used? I mean, come on. That's what the preseason games are for.
Was there like an abnormal amount of guys that went on IR?
I think we're making much ado about nothing.
Who went on IR
throughout the season last year? There were a lot of guys.
Well, during the season, yes, but that happens every year. I'm talking about in training camp.
Training camp, I think, I don't know.
Well, it was like Shelton. It was Mel Mitchell.
Mel Mitchell got hurt.
Shelton got his paycheck, I believe.
Yeah,
Tabucky was put on IR before the season, but that he pulled his hamstring.
Right. None of them were contact injuries, I don't think.
Not during this.
Randall
during
Gay was
camp,
like September,
was
October.
Season.
No, but my point is, I don't think.
I'm going to tell
they
you
were
right
all
now,
muscle injuries.
They're going to be in the neighborhood of the same amount of guys on IR this year as they were last year, as they were the year before.
All right, fine. Anyway, my point is.
It's like a minimum amount that you're going to have.
My point is, I don't think. I think hitting during training camp practice is overrated. That's my point.
Okay.
At I don't know if it's overrated. I think we're making more of this whole, is it different? Has he tweaked it? Why has he tweaked it? What has he done?
The big issue is how different is it? And I would guess that Bill would say it's not real different.
I would guess he would say the same thing.
You know,
if
he says it's different, then he has to say why.
And whatever he says will be the right thing.
I think it's about the same
as normal. Back to you, Fred.
I mean, if I looked about, I think it's about the same as every year, he would say. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But I also don't think it's a huge deal either way. No.
I think Paul's right. I think we saw four practices this year we wouldn't have seen last year.
Right.
And
you
I
mix those in and it sways
it,
you.
Right. I think it's making it seem like
because if
been
you
less
ask
strenuous.
Me, Paul, I've been here for 2 years, so I'd be a good case study. I thought last
year a lot of things.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought last year's training camp was more exciting than this year's, and the reason, the number one reason why that would be is because of those walkthroughs we've had to stomach this year.
I agree.
I think you're right. We just didn't see them last year.
And the other thing is, we came into training camp with such high expectations.
And Moss got injured. That's
right.
Another reason. Moss.
I mean, you
is
had it, high expectations.
You know,
Moss, Stallworth,
that's
Watson,
a good one too.
Maroney, and they're all hurt.
When Moss was playing,
Welker.
There was reason to watch every
I didn't
day.
Need him.
Right.
When Moss was out there,
right.
he gave you something to watch every day. He delivered, absolutely. And since he's
so
been gone.
Had, I mean, this was the most hyped training camp in the history of football.
What's your word again? The climax.
Denouement.
That was the day that he got hurt.
Right.
That was it. It went
according
for the
Mike,
season or the training
Mike
camp?
Felger,
training. No. For the season, I still think there's a better chance they go 2-0 than 0-2.
Oh, this again.
Okay?
All right.
Hey, at least we have opinions.
That's 2-0.
Sawyer from Waterloo.
You're trying to endear yourself to the fans that you've been ripping for a month and a half.
I don't need to endear myself.
Mr. Expert on hitting.
I don't need to endear
those
myself.
I like how he calls
those
them those
people.
Wow.
Who's those people?
The people who aren't
the
in this room.
They're not the art folk that Eric
right.
used to hang out with.
Those people. That's our lifeblood. What are you doing?
They don't those go to Scalavino.com.
We're nothing without the fans.
Oh, you just made that jump 10 times.
Hang on a second. Those of you out there, go to Scalavino.com and click on the movie. Then
the
email
movie.
Us.
I'm not aware of this.
Oh, he's not happy.
I hope your service
I'm
can
fine.
Handle
I'm
it.
Fine. I'm not mad.
I'm giving your website.
You shut your trap or I'll explain it for a minute.
I hope your service can handle the traffic. All right. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa.
Thank
boy,
you, Tom,
are you guys on edge or what? Last week I was trying to playfully rip Fred, which used to be accepted until Fred brought in his new whipping boy, Eric. Then Gary jumped all over me. Gary, don't take your solitaire losing streak out on me. Try turning down the difficult – the what?
Difficulty?
Difficult. I don't know what that
difficulty.
Is. Try turning – oh, turn on the game.
Yes.
Okay. And telling Shannon to take care of me,
monkey.
Please – he would come with the same crap he always uses, corn, pigs, and fat women.
Well, it wasn't Shannon, but they did come with pigs.
So I would give you guys some love for what you do. Fred, you're a great host. Eric, you are good at blogging, and you can make up football careers with the best of them. Gary, your sound bites are excellent, such as Andy's orange fire water in the Billy Madison intro. Andy, your wit is impeccable. Just watch the language.
Sorry.
Paul, you are very knowledgeable and great journalist. So, again, you guys do a great job, and I speak for all the fans.
Hey, what about me?
And say thank you.
What about Casale?
P.S., if I think anything Nightlight adds to the show, I'll let you know.
Nightlight.
Wow.
See, don't take the email seriously. You know why he's mad at me? Because I sided with Shannon, who is much funnier than this guy. Much funnier. He's emailed in a dozen times ripping this guy, and he's much funnier. Shannon, where are you? Put this guy in his place. You know, I don't have time for this idiot.
Well, they're both very high on my list because they've both bought lunch for us in the past. So.
That's right. And speaking of that, we're open for business now.
Next week, camp is over.
We have an opening next week.
This guy's so doggone stupid. He doesn't like me, yet he bought me a sub.
I think
another example of Tom not taking the emailer seriously.
Right. All in good fun.
Well, no, this area really seems to take
him
seriously.
I'm just having fun with him. I want Shannon to come back.
And we'll see how you feel once.
What am I, Greek?
Once all these people go to scalavino.com and start replying to that.
I don't. scalavino.com.
Although,
if any of these
Nightlight
people,
was good.
If any of these people have
Nightlight was good.
Have the wherewithal to purchase the quality of product that I put out there, I'd be shocked.
The wherewithal.
What's in other words, if they have money.
If they have money, yeah, if they have money.
So now you're calling quality
of product. I think the listeners will be the judge of what quality of the product is. I don't even know what you're talking about because I've never even been on this site.
Here's,
That's okay. Here's the thing. That's
you can go to Eric's website.
You'll see.
Actually, no, I won't because I'll never go on the site.
You can go to Eric's website.
You don't know how stubborn Paul is.
No, I know how stubborn he is.
No idea.
Calzones on that site, he wouldn't go there now.
Whoa. Let's not get mentally irregular.
You can go to his website and buy a painting for $7,500 or you can come to my cubicle and I'll take your picture for $7.50. It'll be the same thing.
they're both a ripoff.
Oh, hey,
you haven't even seen it. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are just saying.
Shut up.
All right.
This is great.
I don't want you to tell me
the best publicity you've ever had.
I don't want you to tell me to shut up again like
I love Scalavino.com.
We'd like to hear.
I'm a big fan of the movie.
I also was
like the movie to end all movies.
I also was never on DaveDudek.com, by the way.
Yeah, but he had nothing to offer.
He didn't have anything to offer.
Uh-oh.
I do.
Gary was just on Scalavino.com.
Faces have always fascinated Eric Scalavino.
Written by Eric Scalavino.
Now, there's two periods at the end of that line. Was it supposed to be a third to make it an
No, that's the first. That's a typo.
I'm guessing the third one is missing.
So, I love ellipses, by the way.
It shouldn't
be
surprising that they have become the exclusive focus of his art. Did you write this yourself? I'm guessing yes.
All right, let's not ruin
Who else is going to write for me?
Let's not
Who else
ruin
is
it.
A better writer than I am?
Oh.
Come on.
Whoa.
Fred, we need to talk.
Wow.
we need to ratchet it down a notch.
I don't know.
I don't know what these guys did, but you know next trip you're carrying my luggage, right?
you're rooming with Andy.
All right.
So he can carry your luggage.
Steve from Winchester writes, First, I want to respond to the many fans who have wrongly described Eric Scrappy-Doo as the only adding value to PFW as a blogger. That's not true.
Thank you.
He's a horrible blogger.
Great setup. Good job.
He pulled you in.
He sure did.
Steve from Winchester. Thanks to Gary for muting his mic. Second, love to hear what you guys think about some of the newer linebackers after 3 weeks of camp in a game. Where was Pierre Woods? Does Justin Rogers look like he's really picking up the outside role, or was it just another second-half hero in the preseason? And is Lua really as slow as he looked on TV, both in reactions and game speed?
We all agree on Lua. Yeah.
We said that in practice, and we were like, okay, well, let's see him in a game. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And then in the game, he still had, you know, cement feet.
And
they didn't go anywhere.
Listen, he's a young kid. He was a seventh-round pick. He wasn't, you know, this blue-chip, can't-miss, coming-into-the-NFL guy.
Yeah. He didn't even start at USC.
He's still learning, you know, what it is he has to do, and maybe that's affecting the reaction time.
And for him, the reaction time, you can't really affect it that much because he's not that fast.
Yeah, I mean, right. Andy's shaking his head. I'm not trying to say.
Aren't there certain things that are off air?
No, I agree totally with what your description was, and we've been talking about it, but, you know, I just want – he is a seventh-round guy. I don't want to make it out to be like we're expecting too much.
Right. You know what he is? He was –
Freddie Roach.
But I'm saying generalization. When you're a run-stuffing linebacker in college, it's like being a fullback in college. Your career just ended because fullbacks in the pros, for the bulk of them, are running backs who don't make it. They're guys with more talent. If you're
Like Mike Alstott.
There's a ceiling, and you play a certain position, like linebacker, fullback. You have to be very, very good to take run stuffer in college to run stuffer in the pros. You get weeded out.
Yeah,
and the other thing about, and I should say, one of the reasons I hate preseason is because Lua could make the team and Justin Rogers could be cut tomorrow.
Right.
Because you never know what the coaches are actually thinking. They're playing in the fourth quarter. But the one thing I'll say about Lua is he seemed to be getting a lot of run. Then that game happened, and I haven't really seen him since. Mm-hmm. So that's probably not good.
And Rogers has seemed to
and
get
Rogers
more
has
run.
Gone the other way, yes. Mm-hmm.
And
he took advantage of that Pierre Woods thing as much as anybody took advantage of anything.
That's a big thing because Rodgers played a lot earlier in that game than I think he would have had Woods been addressed.
He made plays.
And sometimes those are the quirky things that are the difference between getting cut and making a football team.
And lead to a PFW feature story.
He'll be in the Pro Bowl if Tom Casale writes it.
Well, he'll be in the Pro Bowl if I write it. And if Eric writes it, it'll start All Things Had to Come to an End.
Craig from Boxborough, hey A-Team and Frank, according to Mike Reese's blog, Josh Miller is not satisfied by the way his reps have been split with the other punters. Also, Reese speculated that Miller might be getting a message sent to him since Matt Castle has been handling some of the holding for Guskowski. So I was wondering what the chances are that Miller loses his job to one of the other punters. I think Bauer would be one of the most likely to take Miller's job based on what I've seen from him.
There's no question that he is the only option. Tom Malone is not an option right now. I know
or a veteran guy
still
if they
here.
Were going to
well,
bring
yeah, yeah, if they were going to bring somebody else in. But in terms of the guys that are here, Bauer is far and away better than Tom Malone has been.
More consistent,
stronger leg, everything.
And today in practice.
I think every day the chances go up that Bauer could take the job.
Miller talked to everybody yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't just,
and,
I mean, that
and,
was
and
a
didn't hide
group session.
But I think that it's telling that, you know, it would be one thing if there was one guy that maybe, you know, he felt comfortable with and confided in, but
right, no.
He was telling anybody who'd listen yesterday, there was a big group around him, he's basically not real happy with the divide and the reps, and he wants the chance, basically.
And I told you, I think he said more in what he didn't say and the way he delivered his comments than what he actually said, and you can read him and the things he said, obviously, on the blog and all the papers today, but it's just the vibe. He's not real happy with how this situation is playing itself out.
He didn't play at all versus Tampa. Coach's decision.
And this all goes back to, if you remember, Tom, that quote I got from him, and I don't remember the whole quote, but I basically said, Sauerbrunn was here and then he wasn't. You know, what do
There's
you think about having competition?
31 other teams.
Yeah.
There's 32 jobs in this league. I'm healthy and I think I'll have one of those jobs.
No.
Oh, I didn't ask. I mean, he read into the question and was already on edge.
You can tell when someone's like that. And I know we joked, Andy. I said I had noticed that he hadn't punted in the game, and I asked you guys if it was true, and you said, yeah. And I said, he's all done. And you kind of laughed. But isn't there some concern that
it's
they
in
didn't
his head.
Have
I think
Well,
it,
I'm
I,
saying that they didn't have him punt at all in the first game, or are they just waiting, let him going to punt all in the second
well,
game?
Well, you never I know how many times you are going to have a chance to punt, and they wanted to see these other guys.
But I know it was funny, you know, because Bill kind of like, you know, Bill kind of was a little short, not upset short with me, but that's why I asked the question. Mm. I wanted to see what his response would be when asked why Miller didn't punt.
And he just
flat out said, you know, I just want to look at the kids. Now, you could take that at face value, or you could take that as, you know, I know what Miller can do when I'm not impressed, and I want to see if these guys can do it.
And I just think it's a little disingenuous with Malone. He wasn't good in Europe. He hasn't been good in from what we've seen in practice. So why were you to suddenly believe he was going to just be suddenly this great guy on the field in Tampa? I think it's clear that if one of the young guys you have on your roster is ready, it's Bauer.
Wouldn't you expect Friday night it to alternate between Bauer and Miller?
Yeah, but I think you could have made that jump in the first game legitimately.
But
or just had Bauer kick the whole
but
time.
But I think it but makes sense that he wanted now. To see the kid kick in a game.
He did.
Who's the kid?
You mean Malone?
Oh.
The kid that you're ripping mercilessly.
I think if he's going to step on the field, he's got to take the criticism that comes with either success or failure.
He's a professional athlete. Did he have a pretty good night, though?
No, not really.
He had a terrible night. Both of them were touchbacks.
Like
both of them were touchbacks.
His net
and they were both drilled
lower
deep
than
into the
Erickson
end zone.
Practice.
Bauer had a pretty good night, though.
Yeah, he was okay.
And if you're going to read anything into this that you probably should or shouldn't, Bauer and Malone both have been working the last few practices, and especially this morning, on snap and hold.
Right, which could be part of the job, or might not be part of the
right.
job. It could be Castle, I mean, you know.
But I mean, if you're going to
so
read
why
into
was
things.
Castle held a lot last year in training camp? By the way, which I don't necessarily look at that as being, you know, some telling
sort
factor.
Sort of a fallback thing?
And yeah. They have two holders. Yeah, one's going to be the punter and one's going to be the backup quarterback.
Right.
We've been talking a lot about punters. What about Gostkowski? You guys concerned about him? Because he's been terrible.
Boy, a little bit.
Bad in practice.
Yeah, he's terrible. I've been reading that he's having a pretty strong camp.
They've been reading it for me.
I didn't say I read. That's because I don't read you.
Good point.
He's been inconsistent. He's definitely been inconsistent.
And he's really struggled in the 30 to 40 range there. 40 the makeable kicks.
40 yards in, he's struggled a lot.
Both guys.
Ironically.
Fred, what's your thoughts on him?
I think he's a game player, and he's not that good in practice.
Well, why did he make them all in practice last year?
I don't know.
Because he was phenomenal in camp last year.
He was good, but he missed some.
Well they all missed some. Adam Vinatieri missed some over his career here.
No one makes every single kick.
I don't know if anyone else has noticed around here, but that's Fred's new phrase. Matt Gutierrez is a game player. Kelly Washington is a game player. Gostkowski is a game player.
I never mentioned Gutierrez.
Yes, I swear to God on my life you did.
I said Kelly Washington yesterday.
No, and then we were talking. You go, you know what I think? That Gutierrez might be one of those guys who plays well in a game but doesn't practice well.
I said that about Washington.
And Gutierrez. I never said it about Gutierrez.
I think you're confusing him with our webmaster who had that discussion with Andy.
I never said that about Gutierrez.
It was a couple days ago.
You can make the argument that he didn't play all that well in games in college. Right. I mean, he was an average. Statistically, he was an average player.
I never said that about Gutierrez. I said it about Kelly Washington.
All right. Anyway, Gostkowski has been questionable in training.
He has been.
From 40 yards in. And from 40 yards out.
Once the pressure's off,
40 yards out.
And you know that I know kickers, and yes.
He had one yesterday that was embarrassing. The 52-yarder yesterday was short, left.
A little bit wide, yeah.
I think you used the phrase, Fred, it looked like he kicked it with a dead leg.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it looked like. It had no zip on it at all.
Yeah.
He's not splitting the kicks. He's taking all the kicks.
Wow.
He only split the kicks.
You used the word, Paul, dead leg.
Well, no, actually, I was repeating it.
But I find that a little interesting because almost every team has another kicker in just to take some of the kickoffs and then practice in the games. A guy who has no chance of making the team. The Colts, for instance, have a guy.
Right.
But they decided to only have one kicker.
Well, we tried to bring in a Chinese kicker, but they wouldn't let us.
You really did?
I'm only kidding.
Oh.
All right. Let's see. Ken writes in, my God, was it really even a question whether the chances are better for 2-0 and 0-2? Definitely the Patriots have a better chance of beating the Jets than losing to them.
It's going to be really like a Weiner line.
If you really think that the Pats don't want to show the Chargers that they can beat them again, the Chargers may feel like they had a game stolen from them and have a chip on their shoulder, but shouldn't the Pats feel a little angry that the rest of the country thinks the Patriots shouldn't have won that game? Don't they have something to prove? Look, the Chargers may have a 51% chance of winning game two, but the Patriots have well over a 60% chance of winning game one. That's how I feel.
Yeah, if you play the odds, that's how you would say 2-0.
Anyway, so everyone's talking about Justin Rogers after the preseason game. He's been one of the rookies I've been pulling for to make the team. I'm wondering if you guys see him with a legitimate chance at practice squad or even the roster. Also, what about opinions on Lua? He got badly beaten on Tampa's touchdown pass, and I know that's one play, but we're talking about him being only one step behind. Finally, to round out my linebacker questions, how many years would you guess Brewski has left? Of course, your guesses are going to be totally random and probably wrong, but give me some guesses.
No, they won't.
One
would be my guess.
Yeah.
That sounds unanimous to me.
Yes, and that one won't be wrong.
P.S. I was a running back at Boston U. I ran 1,000 yards a game.
There we go.
If you count my steps from the dorm to the field, because you know you got to count every step a running back takes if you count every yard a kicker kicks. But never practiced or played in a game. Actually, my first year at BU was the year they got rid of the team. So
he was probably going to be a pro prospect, too.
Yeah, he was on that track.
That happens.
Was on that track.
BU had a lot of pro prospects
that didn't quite
make it in the NFL.
So it's amazing.
Only three of them ever played in the NFL.
It's amazing they don't have a program anymore.
Reggie Rucker.
The Oscar Lua touchdown that
Jim
crashed
Jensen.
I'm not totally sure he just got beat on that.
I agree with you.
Brandon Merriweather was coming from the outside. It looked like there might have been a little miscommunication slash guys who didn't really know, weren't on the same page, didn't know where one zone ended and who they were passing off to and where the pass off point was. So I don't think he played well, but I'm not sure that's the play I would use.
Yeah, they didn't.
Plus, I don't think he'd be doing that if the best he could ever be. He's not on the field for that play.
Yeah. Right.
He's not asked to do that. He's asked to be a two-down linebacker. I think that's his ceiling, is be a run-stopping linebacker.
I mean, even if his ceiling was higher than that, they're not asking an inside linebacker who's playing the Mike, by the way, the Mike linebacker, to cover a wide receiver. They're not asking to do that. They don't ask Adalis Thomas to do that.
What about does Rodgers have a chance to make this team?
Sure. I think he's got a chance. Sure.
I, you know, we were talking about this in the tent during practice. I think there's one spot for Corey Mays, Justin Rodgers, Oscar Lua. I think one of those three guys is going to
be. Pierre Woods is already on?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think so. I wouldn't say a lock, but
I don't know about special teams, Paul, because I know Mays play, but I just don't see Mays having anything like for the NFL. Like maybe he can play special teams, but as far as playing linebacker.
I think
he's
a little slow, too. I think a lot of the stuff that we said about Lua, I think, is kind of slow.
Now, is Rodgers, can he play special teams? Because I think if
he did Friday night.
He can play special teams relatively well, then I think he's going to get that.
He was with the first teamers on the kickoff.
He was on the first kickoff team. I was bummed out because I was really trying to focus on him because, Tom, I don't know if you know, but he's kind of like my bingo.
Yeah.
I was watching him on the kick team, and both times I focused on him the whole way downfield. Gostkowski killed the kick deep into the end zone, and it was touchback. So there was nothing really.
Was he at the head of the pack?
He got down there pretty well, but that doesn't mean anything. You don't know what happens when the guy comes out and the wedge forms and all that. And
meant something for Vince Papalia.
Invincible.
Andy in Sioux City says, Fred, kudos on upgrading your staff with the drunken idiot kicker. There have been some good shows, but the show where Eric details his illustrious kicking career rates near the top. Eric will bring even more diversity and football knowledge to an already great staff. Just when will we see Chad Jackson play football in New England? Can't we at least get him healthy enough to trade him? I'm assuming some of these veterans on PUP are not really hurt at all. Can you guys give any details on the list? I was looking forward to watching Thomas this year. Now it looks like he may not make it on the field.
He's the biggest concern.
Trade Chad Jackson, though, but for what?
Right.
Like, what are you going to trade him for?
I think he's got more value as potential still.
I don't think Chad Jackson's going anywhere.
Yeah, don't give up
on
him.
No, either.
Why would he?
Well, I'm just saying, what would you get, like a fifth, sixth?
You're lucky. You're not going to
so
be getting pennies
more,
on the dollar.
More slow linebackers who will get caught.
I think Chad Jackson, he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
I think he had a hamstring problem last summer. I was as critical of Chad Jackson last year
as anybody. By the way, he was a rookie.
Okay? Right. Yeah. But the guy tore his ACL in the AFC Championship game, and now we're wondering why he's not out there practicing, yeah. And we're calling him soft. I don't think that's fair.
If he's soft, what's Moss? Moss only has a little hamstring.
Any new receiver to the NFL needs at least 3 years.
Well,
not Anquan Boldin.
Well,
not Randy Moss.
Okay, yeah, there are
that
exceptions,
to me is,
obviously. But
I understand,
for the most part.
Not even Santonio Holmes.
I understand there's a lot of wide receivers that take time to develop, but there's a lot that don't. And I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying the guy had a serious injury last year.
But doesn't mask the disappointment that was his rookie year.
I think last year
complete
was a complete
and utter
bust.
Disappointment.
I think it was a complete
because
bust.
He had a role to be won. He could have done something. And he was out there. He had chances.
Right.
He made a couple plays here and there. But beyond that, there was nothing. So the ACL doesn't cover that up. But
and
it also doesn't say, let's close
actually,
the door on
right. And I'm talking about plays that he actually made last year that I didn't think that he came as advertised. And the one that comes to mind is the one against Chicago. You know, when he's got a half a step maybe on the defensive back, the throw is out there for him, and he does nothing to make a play on the ball. I thought, you know, you don't have to be a rookie or an eighth-year guy to use your athleticism to your advantage.
But to be fair, he had a nice catch against the Jets. He was a rookie receiver.
He made some plays, but I thought he was very disappointing last year. And I also think that he was, you know, based on his actions in the locker room, I don't want to get in trouble because I know this is a hot-button topic. I thought he was immature last year. And hopefully he's put that behind him and he ends up, you know, having a good career. But I don't blame him at all for anything that's happened in year two.
I just don't understand how we are closing the door on his career after
a year. No way. For a guy
who was a steal and a
especially
this.
Especially someone with that kind of physical. I mean, you look, like I said before, you look at that guy, if you said pick out the one who's the NFL receiver out of everybody here,
well,
and you pick out Chad Jackson.
I said this in SPFW yesterday that beyond Moss, he's the most talented, naturally, physically gifted receiver on this roster.
Moss is in another world.
By far,
so.
Right. You're talking about a guy who's a potential Hall of Famer or Hall of Fame talent, and he's next in line.
Yep.
He's better than Dante Stallworth because he has better hands, and he's probably might be faster. I don't know if it's football speed, but he has the natural ability. Now, whether he ever becomes any, he might stink. He might be a bust in 3 years and you trade him. But I just think pure natural ability, you take a chance because he's far more talented than Bethel Johnson ever was. And he got three years.
I agree with that. I don't know enough about his skills. You guys saw him at the combine and all that stuff.
The guy's got best hands after Moss.
Well, I haven't seen that. So I can't make that comment.
Fred's asleep. I thought I'd get a welker there.
I'm not overly impressed with Stallworth's hands.
No, they stink.
I think he's a body catcher. He hasn't dropped. I haven't really seen him drop anything in camp.
No.
But he doesn't catch the ball the same way like Moss does or Troy Brown does.
And I think if you look at his career, teams haven't asked him to be a reception machine for probably that reason.
They realize
he can run deep.
It's not in their best interest to have him running, you know, slants mm-hmm. and in cuts and 15-yard outs because he double catches or
mm-hmm.
you
hit
if you double if you double catch on the sideline, you're pushed out of bounds before you have the reception, or
right,
a guy hits
right.
you and breaks it up.
You don't get
you know
catch.
In practice that gets
it's glossed over,
glossed right. over a little because you right. know as Fred said, they're not hitting at all in this camp. There's no contact, plenty of room to catch it.
Well, you run the goal route and they throw it up to you, and you
except
catch
for
it.
The three or four practices that he missed that were Braveheart.
Right, that's true. He did miss one or two.
Joe in Winnipeg says, "Great work on the training camp coverage in the paper, on the show, and on the website." Gary, I don't care about sound levels and solitaire games, but if you can't find a way to combine, I'll bend you over a table with, I'll stick this inside you, then you just aren't doing your job.
What is I'll stick this inside you from?
It's just too bad that you didn't have this little gem prior to Tom's wedding.
I had a like something in my hand, and I said, yeah. I'm getting ready to stick this inside you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, those pliers.
Yeah, the pliers.
It sounds like the interest for PFW in progress T-shirts is increasing. I'm thinking a picture of the five of you sitting around a table with mics, and above each picture is a catchphrase. Paul's, of course, would be, maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Tom's would be, look at that douchebag. I would have to say Fright Night, but I'm not sure if that is his nickname
Night
this week.
Light. I like that one better.
Andy's like would that. Say Orange Firewater. Eric's would say Kicked and Punted. And Fred's would say, I don't know, maybe like Jake Steele. if they really catch on, you could have a special edition shirt like Gary Wears That Red King. Lori, we do enjoy Dick for a little while, or Kyle.
Wait a minute. It wasn't we do enjoy. We did. Isn't it we did enjoy
we did
Dick?
We did join Dick.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Or Kyle.
That would just be dirty if it was.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Or Kyle Passetti, his shirt wouldn't say anything.
I mean, I think it wouldn't, might not.
You'll probably want to order Paul and Tom's in bulk. Maybe get Eric's as they are ordered. Belated congratulations to Stanley Morgan on his selection into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Keep up the great work. And when are we going to get daily podcasts again?
Regular yes, season right. time.
Who's that?
Joe in Manipeg,
Manipeg,
Manitoba. Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Manipeg, Manitoba.
Joe's in Louisiana.
People are crying out for those T-shirts, Fred.
Oh, maybe yeah. we'll see.
You're missing out on an opportunity.
Is he breaking here? I want
to. Yeah, you got it. You breaking a little bit?
I need
you?
Some new shirts where I can cut the sleeves off.
Man, we might get some swag.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
How much extra can that cost?
What's swag?
Stuff
swag
we all get.
Swag is like merchandise.
Oh.
Yeah, what does it mean, by the way?
Stuff we all get.
You just said
it's an actually, acronym.
It's
stuff
actually
we all get. S-W-A-G.
Poop we all get.
You
it's
can
like
see
snafu.
The wheels turning.
You know what snafu stands for?
No.
Situation normal, all effed up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. What's
well,
the other one?
That. I never knew the snap.
Military.
How about FUBAR?
FUBAR.
FUBAR, yeah.
Familiar with that one.
What's that one?
Effed up beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
Never heard that one either.
Okay.
It's a different generation.
You ever saw Saving Private Ryan? FUBAR?
I did see Saving Private Ryan.
They were talking about FUBAR the whole time, and then finally at the end, the guy, oh, FUBAR.
Yeah,
so
idiot.
Mad at you.
So mad.
I don't remember that. I don't know.
And that's not acceptable to Eric.
By the way, Paul just saw Office Space for the first time when we were flying back from Tampa. They showed
I
the movie.
I've never seen it before.
And that was
it's
his
an average
eh.
movie. That's why.
Oh, come on.
I didn't
listen to
it. It's an average
it.
Movie.
You
geeks think it's like the greatest movie ever made.
I think it's slightly above average.
It's
definitely
good.
Above average. Pretty good.
Definitely kind of leaned to Tom on
that. Paul missed some of the funniest parts, too.
Oh, it's got like this cult following.
Really?
Yeah, they love it. People love that movie. It's a pretty good movie. It's nothing more, nothing less. You know?
Do you ever work in a corporate environment?
No.
Then
evidently we don't count this.
Yeah, I mean, I work here.
Eric has.
Yeah, but,
he had quite a career in a corporate
this
environment
this is a corporate environment?
But, if no, you I could mean, just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on,
was
that
the
would
office.
Be great.
Yeah, Gary's on the ball over there.
I quote the movie every time the printer runs out of paper.
Mm-hmm.
PC load PC letter. Load
what the does that mean?
All right.
Get on my nerves a little bit.
Fred, are there, can you? I know you always read in order.
You know that.
But
I don't read them in order.
Can you look to the newer one? Do we have any talking about Scalavino.com?
You get all mad.
Because our fans are really letting us down if they don't have any reaction to Scalavino.com.
Nothing yet.
I guess we can give them
Gary,
the week
come on, man.
For all the people that are listening on podcasts. But I expect some responses to that website by next week.
Gary. And the movie.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, and the movie.
Scott from Washington, D.C., in Ask PFW this week, the idea came up of Mike Wright serving as a possible short yardage back in some situations. It sounds like a pretty good idea. Please let me know whether my memory is correct, though. Didn't Mike Wright have a carry once of sorts when he fielded a squib kick that bounced his way while playing special teams? I seem to recall him scooping up a ball once in that kind of situation. Just curious. Have a great day. Nice to be emailing the show again. Sorry it's been a long time.
I think he probably has because he's in the middle of that kick return.
I believe last year he also recovered a blocked punt or something against Miami.
None of those are really carries. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just not big on that. Let's bring the defensive tackle in at the goal line. You don't got anybody who can block.
This is not a guy who's accustomed to having the ball in his hands. Are we really worried about not having a short yardage back? Is that a major concern for everybody else?
I thought they were talking about fullbacks.
I think it's like a made-up term.
Did he say to carry the ball?
Oh. I thought it was to block.
I thought he said to carry the ball. Maybe I missed my bad.
I thought it was in lieu of Richard Seymour.
I think he did say carry the ball.
Yeah, I think he did.
I thought he was talking about carrying the ball.
He said short yardage.
May not have answered that question properly then in SPFW.
Oh, this is a surprise. I'm not a big fan of defensive guys on offense and all that stuff. Unless they're skill, you know, if it's like a Deion type, you know, look, if you want to make Ellis Hobbs, you know, or Asante Samuel has been really a dynamic player with the ball in his hands on defense. If you're looking to find a spot for him on offense, maybe as a gimmick, I'm all for that.
And by the way, if we're concerned about short yardage, touchdowns, I know it was only one preseason game, and I know it was the number two offense against Tampa's number one defense, but they had one chance at a short yardage touchdown, and they got it. Sammy Morris, 2 yards, touchdown against Tampa.
If you can't run for a yard, you shouldn't be on the team.
Exactly.
I have no fears whatsoever of that being a problem.
I don't either.
I think one of the most overrated things last year, and I know everybody's going to yell at me for beating up on the guy, but Corey Dillon was great in the red zone. I think there's a lot of backs in this league that can run for 12 touchdowns behind the Patriots' offense.
To be fair, I've been leading the charge, and I still think Mike Wright is the perfect goal line fullback, aside from anyone else they could use. I think he has the athleticism, the size, everything. I think he would be very good in that role.
And then I think they need a new running back. What do you think about that?
Well, they don't have fullbacks on the team. They don't fill that role.
But a guy who can do a little blocking.
But I think it's kind of a waste to have a guy on the roster. I think that would be a waste, because I think Mike Wright could do the job.
I don't know this, but who blocks in Kansas City? Don't they just line up Larry Johnson and say, here you go, get a yard?
When did we have Larry Johnson on this roster? I think every once in a while you need a fullback.
So you use Mike Wright.
But every once in a while you need a fullback better than Heath Evans.
I think Heath Evans stinks as a blocker.
Okay.
I don't think he's a short-yardage runner or a short-yardage fullback.
I kind of agree with Tom then. He shouldn't be on the team. I personally think he should.
I think he's in trouble. I think he's in trouble for a roster spot here. I think he's right on the bubble.
I don't.
What are you saying?
I think they love him, so I don't. But
I just don't think he does anything all that well.
If he can't really block, and I don't think he can block,
I have no idea why he's on the team if he can't do that.
I don't think he's a very good blocker. And
I certainly look at him as a guy following him
to the goal line.
He's not a short yardage back. We all know that.
I'm not trying to say that you're wrong.
That's just the way you talk.
No, I'm truly wondering why he's here.
I don't know.
The way I look at it is he can run a little bit where you can get him a carry or two a game. He can catch the ball a little bit where you can get him a catch or two a game. He plays decently on special teams, but there's certainly other guys that do it better.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of them. The one thing I think he adds,
and evidently I'm wrong, is he can do all of those things, plus if you have to have it, he can serve as the blocker. If you're telling me he's terrible as a blocker, I don't have any idea why he's here.
I think he's worse as a blocker than he is as a ball carrier and a pass receiver. I don't know about the special teams.
Because I mean, I know it's cliche, but Sammy Morris went out of his way to say how great it was on those two goal line runs that Heath Evans did.
Well, you know why I think he's going to be on the team? Because last year, in the most crucial play of the season, Bill Belichick put the ball in Heath Evans' hand. So if he can't go from that to cut, in my opinion.
But there weren't really a whole lot of options either. Falk, Dillon, and Maroney really weren't options.
No, I know, but they could have thrown it.
Well, that's a different argument. But the fact that he was on the field on that play.
I think he's in trouble. I think he's
I'm surprised to hear you say
51,
that.
51, really 2, and 3 on the roster, because I think you start to say, well, this guy can do more on defense, and he's a better special teamer, or this guy.
I think it's a it was a mistake on their part, personally, I think, in constructing the roster. I think the Heath Evans slot should be filled by a true backup running back.
I think if
and then
if,
you have Morris and Falk.
If David Thomas is not healthy, then I think that Heath Evans is absolutely a lead pipe lock to make the team, because I don't see them carrying less than four running backs unless you're saying that Garrett Mills can kind of do both.
No.
Okay. No, I'm saying right. as the fourth guy.
Right.
You know, he's your third tight end and a fourth running back. Now, if David Thomas is on this team, in my opinion, Garrett Mills is gone.
Right. I agree.
So now you don't have anybody that can be that bridge guy. If David Thomas is ready to go at the start of the season, I think Garrett Mills' days are numbered. And now you have to find a way. You know, you have to. You know, you'd have to keep Evans because
I agree with
you. Don't
both
have
you.
Anybody.
I agree with both of you. I think Evans is a lock, and I think that maybe he shouldn't be on the team, because I think what you just said, I kind of agree that I don't know if I like the way they constructed the running back spot after Maroney.
Right. You really are morphing into Peter King.
See, I try to do my best.
Well, I just stumbled on something very interesting.
As you weren't listening to us at all.
Dave in Queens sent us a link to a Page 2 story on ESPN. And it's a guy named Tim K-E-O-W-N.
Keown
writes it. And basically he's talking about how he can't understand why fans are so interested on every little thing that goes on in training camp. And basically he takes the Patriots training camp and the Boston media and what it's been writing about as the example of that. So I don't know if this guy is now become our public enemy number one. But he makes fun of the Herald, and he makes fun of the Globe, and he makes fun of Albert Breer.
Are you serious?
You know Tim Keown? Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the guy who wrote Dennis Rodman's book, I believe.
Was that
I
right?
was wrote in quotes, air quotes there.
Well, because you know how these athletes.
It was first person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like
Grushy
and the Michael Holly book. You know what I mean?
Did he make fun of us?
That's where I thought he was going.
Well,
with
he does.
See, I'm going to be hurt if he didn't.
He does.
Okay, nice. So can I hear that
by name?
So then after I'll start.
No, Joe, you're the only one reading it. We don't know.
None of us has access to it.
First he talks about all of what the Globe says, and he goes, man, that's enough to make a guy an Eagles fan. From the Boston Herald, I get perspective. I also get a second-by-second rundown of practice, which is something I didn't know I needed until now, of course. Albert Breer writes, QB Tom Brady walked away from the offense midway through practice and camped with a trainer by the south end zone to get his arm rubbed down. At this point, I'm worried, but Breer continues by writing, not to worry, though. Brady quickly came back and, if anything, was too strong on his throws to follow. Then there's nearly hallucinogenic stuff about deep out cuts and Jabbar Gaffney lunging and someone named Gamara Williams before I am rousted by a question, what does it all mean? This is why I come here, O Master. Here's what, and then he says, talking a little bit more about that. Then he finally goes on to talk about Patriots.com.
Nice, good.
Yeah. Where is it?
Oh, boy.
When I got to Patriots.com, I think I found the ultimate site. The team sites are absolute gold mines of pure, unadulterated football information for the true football fan. They record the essentials of every single snap at every single practice. Wrap your football-hungry mind around this recap of Sunday's non-pad workout. Quote, players not in attendance were David Thomas and Asante Samuel. Since it was a walkthrough, players on PUP were allowed to be present. Richard Seymour, Troy Brown, Chad Jackson, blah, 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 were on the field. Moss and Brady jogged through some drills, but none of the players did anything too excruciating. Now I'm getting into it. I can smell the sweat and feel the importance of every move. I think I might be inside the huddle. I read on. Quote, at the start of practice, Kyle Brady and Ben Watson were playing catch, only with a twist. The two tight ends were tossing the ball back and forth one-handed. They had a good rhythm going until Watson eventually let one hit the ground. Does it get any better than that? This is what I've been missing. No wonder people paint their faces for preseason games. Now I'm down in the miscellaneous notes section where I learned the following. During a break in the action, Tom Brady was standing with his receivers talking shop. Pinch me. I feel like I'm there.
Okay, well, two things here. One, I got screwed again because I wrote that and he didn't name my name. And two, this is why next year, Fred, at our pre-meeting, we're going to talk about what we need to do with those walkthroughs, because I'm laughing to myself when I'm writing this stuff, because we have to fill 700 words for, 600 reports we got to put up every day. So in a way, I kind of agree with him because every practice like this, I don't think we need to.
To be fair, it was a blog that he was reading.
No, that was the update. That was the update.
That's
it was a walkthrough.
nice try. Though,
it was a walkthrough. They weren't doing anything.
That crap made the paper.
But what are we supposed to do if you want us to cover every day? Say we didn't have a practice tonight. What would you want me to have covered from this morning's practice? There's nothing to cover. That's why what we were saying earlier with these walkthroughs, it kind of makes covering it a little bit different because I think we got to change it up a little bit. What are you going to say? You know, they're going half speed. They're not doing any drill. They're just.
Well, and also, to be fair, we're not allowed to really say the alignments. We're not allowed to.
Right. And not just
talk about the plays.
That's a media rule in general.
Right. So we're not allowed to do the stuff that would be fairly interesting in a walkthrough.
So let's recap. Chris Price writes a book, names every Boston media member known to man except for Tom Casale. This guy writes an article, naming every media member except me. But
Chris Price wrote a book?
Finds a way to take a shot at me. I can't win.
Well, I'll make you feel better here, Tom. Owen writes in, he says, Tom for High King of Ireland.
Shut up, you drunk.
I haven't emailed in a while, and first off, I'd like to say congratulations to Tom. He's a truly incredible human being.
You pass out at the computer, you drunk.
Credit to the Patriots organization. Fred and Paul are cool, too. Andy is a wanker.
he is a wanker.
A few questions. How does Corey Hilliard look? Is he still throwing up on the sidelines? What's his upside? How does the linebacking core look? What looks sharp and who doesn't? How does Rodney Harrison look? Will Rashad Baker make the team? What do you guys think of him as a player? And Keith Bullock is a wanker.
I'm aligned with a Pro Bowl linebacker.
That's a lot.
I like it.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. Hilliard got in the game against Tampa late fourth quarter at right tackle. Wasn't too impressive.
He's made strides since the days of vomit.
Yeah. I think he is in the group with Elgin and Oldenburg. All three of those guys, I think, have very legitimate shots to make the practice squad. And if I had to say one was
Oldenburg
ahead of the other one, I would say Elgin, just
really?
Based on
his
pedigree.
Hmm. I'd go Elgin, Oldenburg, Hilliard.
I like Oldenburg's chances.
But I don't think all three make it. So
how about the linebacking core? What do you say? Looking good?
What was the question?
Overall,
you know what I think is funny about this, though?
What?
In 4 weeks, we'll never bring up these names again. Like, we're sitting here going.
Well, you know what's funny? That's exactly what Bill talked about today. He said, last year we had guys like Woods and Kite and Mays that we never talked about at this time of year last year. And they ended up playing in important games and playing critical roles. The same will be true. But, Tom's right. There's no sense of trying to figure out which guys will be those guys because it's a near impossible task. Bill doesn't know who those guys are right now.
How about the linebacking core overall, quickly?
Well, we kind of gone through it. We kind of think those three guys are fighting for one spot. I would agree with Paul.
In terms
on
of
that.
The depth, yeah. That's,
I think Harrison looks pretty active. No worse for wear.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
No?
I don't think he looks quick.
I've seen him limp some. I've seen him get up slow after plays and really kind of favor a knee. I think he might have lost a step. I think he does look worse for the wear. I think that's a very good way to put it.
Okay.
And Thomas was limping around a little bit last
night. A little
night.
Bit.
I thought, did you guys see him walking off the
he
field?
He did not.
Yeah.
He wasn't walking,
well. Okay, so
you
guys agreed. Yes. I never got to talk to you about that.
And he got banged up, when was that, a week ago?
Yeah.
So he's might be dealing with a little something that's
But I thought the fact
recurring.
That he played
Something
in
happened
the game,
last night.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. I thought the fact that he played in the game sort of put that injury on the back burner, although this could just be a reaggravation.
Did you see him walk off, Andy?
Yeah.
It wasn't a football strut, I thought.
No, it was a definite noticeable limp.
But evidently the host
what
is no
are
longer
you doing?
Listening to us.
What?
What are you doing?
I'm reading emails.
See, when there's a pause and there's no chatter, that's the perfect time to go to the next email.
I think the linebacker core is still thin overall in my mind. I'm not. That's a concern of mine. I think if you get injuries there.
Right. If you get injuries, I agree.
That's as troubling a spot if you get injuries as any.
I'm concerned
less
with
thin.
I'm concerned with two-thirds of the defense. Did I include the defensive secondary in there too?
Two-thirds.
But he thinks they're 2-0.
No,
eight.
Chargers got no chance.
The defensive line is one-third. Linebackers are another third, and the defensive secondary is the
for
other third.
Thanks, we got
third.
That. Okay. Thanks, we got that.
So linebackers
said a third of the team.
There'd
be
secondary.
Offense and then defense and special teams, where everybody pretends that
no
kickers
wonder,
matter.
No
right,
wonder
wanker.
Nobody likes you. All right, Dwayne writes, and according to various reports, including the PFW blog, neither the offense or the defense look very impressive as a group. I hear a lot about how they look individually, but not as a cohesive group. Seems like a diversion of sorts from previous years. So there are two questions. One, do you think this will pose a problem in the season? And two, is it time to get concerned that the sum of the team's talent isn't looking too great?
No.
No, we haven't even played two preseason games yet.
Well, Eric is worried about four-fifths of the team, but other than that, we're feeling pretty good.
I think the defense as a whole, when it's been ones against ones in any kind of competitive environment, I think the defense has looked pretty good against the offense, to be honest with you.
Except for last night's defense.
I thought the offense looked good when Randy Moss was part of that offense. I think since that point, when he got hurt, that the defense has looked pretty good.
Because they've had a lot of two-minute drills.
Moss is that important, huh?
I think Moss, watching him, I couldn't have been more impressed with, like, the second week of practice. I just thought he was clearly the best player on the field, made everything look easy. You saw him coming across the middle, his hands, the way he just reacts late, tucks the ball away, and before you know it, he made the catch. I thought
there was true excitement.
You know what
he
said? We're going to see things we haven't seen. Since I've been out there at practice, he did things. I've never seen a receiver or a guy look like that.
We haven't seen anyone do that.
But, so let me bring up the other side. In other words, Mike Felger side, when he says that, well, I've talked to people in Oakland, and they say, this is what you get. You get that where he looks good, and then he gets injured, and then he's going to be. But I'm just bringing it up, Fred.
Don't dismiss it because it was Oakland.
But
that's
heard that already.
No. I'm dismissing it because I think it's a well-fabricated plan. If he pulled up lame on a play, what I mean?
No, I'm saying he really does have an injury. And are you concerned? Yes. Or does the second injury is it then?
Concerned because he's a 30-something receiver who's got a hamstring injury, and we haven't played, as Eric would say, our second preseason game. That's concerning. I think there's a chance it lingers. I think that's the only concern, though, with Moss. It's not, will he milk it? Will he nurse it? Does he not really want to play? I think it's truly, are his legs good enough to stay healthy or bounce back?
Right.
And that's the one concern.
Let's see. Liam writes in, I wanted to get your take, especially Fright Nights, on Bill Simmons' list of the five best all-time players in football video games from Tecmo to Madden. Five is Ben Coates. Four is Lawrence Taylor. Three, Randall Cunningham. Two, Jerry Rice. In number one,
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson. Also, I wanted to ask you guys to lay off the foot. I know he's the new guy, but it's clear that there's some jealousy in the room since he's the only one with big-time college football experience.
It's true.
On that
experience
note,
would be in air quotes.
On that note, I'd like to ask Eric how Garrett Mills is progressing at linebacker and if there's any truth to the rumor of converting Guskowski to tight end with all the injuries.
He does have linebacking experience.
And someone should tell him that Fright Night stopped playing video games right around Tecmo Bowl.
Well, apparently that list stopped. I mean, those weren't like Madden guys, were they? Those were all Cunningham, Bo. They were all Tecmo
Rice.
Guys.
Yeah,
that's Tecmo Bowl.
Ben Coates.
Why are we talking about Patriot player was on there? Anyway?
Boy, this Eric, man.
Jeez. What do you want to talk about aside from your website and your art?
Real football.
And you.
And faces.
Two-thirds of the defense.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition. Want to make sure everyone knows Scalavino.com. Check it out. Let us know. We'll see you next week.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.